starts the Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Sacramento, California. Hello.
Larry King, I want to commend you on your choice of suspenders tonight.
It is black.
I know it. This quality, though. This money that belongs to the Iraqi people, can they get that back from Saddam? And are we going to get Don and Mike on the Armed Forces radio over and over?
Good question. That's a good question. Nick. Christopher, can they get the money some way to send that money back to the people? He probably took it from them.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
Yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
It's a cavalcade, Paul. It's a cavalcade of stars.
Hi, this is Gene Simmons.
And this is Paul Stanley's kid.
And we never.
No, we never.
We never.
We never ever.
Don Geronimo and Michael Mann.
I'm hungry and I'm going to the 7-Eleven. See you later.
Could you just say hi to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, the radio show I work for?
Hey, Don Geronimo and Michael who?
Mike O'Mara.
Michael Merriman?
No, Mike O'Mara.
Oh, Michael Mary.
Mike O'Mara.
And meanwhile, he's heard his name pretty good so far, right?
I like dreaming. Because dreaming can make you mine.
Hi, this is Steve Ducey from Fox TV's Not Just News show. And I never listen to Don and Mike on WJFK because it doesn't pay enough.
Hi, this is Donnie Austin, and I never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Mary O'Mara. Excuse me, Mike. Hi, this is Donnie Osmond, and I never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Hi, this is Donnie Osmond. I never listen to
I can't do it.
Hi, this is Donnie Osmond, and I never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. I did it.
Hi, check 1, 2, 3, 4. How does Bob? Hello, this is Vic Tayback, and I never listen to Don and Mike. Who is your target audience? I'd have to tell them what channel they're already listening to.
Hi, this is Bobby Brown. Yeah, I'm chilling down here with the two fat men.
Hi, this is Boy George. Never listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. All right, follow.
This is Ray Liotta, and you're listening to my favorite Goodfellas on the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, everyone. This is Alex Trebek. Listening to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara is really putting yourself in jeopardy. So I never do it.
Hi, I'm Kathy Lee Gifford.
Hi, I'm Joe Gibbs.
You are not your Frank Gifford.
Oh.
And we never listen to Don Geronimo.
I want to be Joe Gibbs, though.
And Mike O'Mara, do we, honey?
Why can't I be Joe Gibbs?
Can if you want.
All right, I'll be Bill Parcells.
This is Mark Price, better known as the Skipster on Family Ties. And I don't listen to Don and Mike on WJFK, not when there's more intelligent talk show personalities like Wayne and Garth.
This is Bruce Wayne, millionaire philanthropist and conspiracy. Batman and Adam West, and I never listen to Don Geronimo and Michael Mira.
Hi, this is Bob Barker from The Price is Right, and I never listen to the Don and Mike.
Hi, this is Bob Costas, and I want to make this abundantly clear. I never listen to Don Geronimo, whose name sounds bogus to me to begin with, and or Mike O'Mara. And if I were ever in whatever city their program airs, happens to be Washington, I'm told, state of Washington or Washington, D.C.? Washington, D.C. If I'm ever in Washington, D.C., I will make a specific effort to avoid listening to this program.
Hi, this is Larry King, and I never listen to Don and Mike because I'm bright, intelligent, lively, and desire information. I go anywhere I can, but not here.
Hi, 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 hi.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you. Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Or you don't know to fill a book.
Well, it's the Don and Mike show. And they'll say what they mean.
So many has been, so many never was. Well, here they come.
Yeah.
Start of tomorrow.
I hate that.
Today. There's
the
Star Trek right there.
It's from a true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
God?
Yeah.
Yeah, Robbie. God loves you, and he gave you music.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Wonderlick and all the ships at sea. Broadcasting live from the Mr. Personality Dark Room, it's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Yeah, we're gonna drop that show faster than third period French. And hello and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show, new episode on the Tuesday. April 29ers.
Right.
Phone numbers from the United States, USA, go USA, 877-365-3636. Canada, you can call.
I think you win today.
1-800-636-1067 in D.C. 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike, Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, bud.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome, everybody.
Welcome. Welcome.
Where's the doctor?
Welcome.
Someone called for a doctor?
Welcome.
Someone called for a doctor?
And hi, this is it. This is the show.
It is?
This is it.
All right.
We're on the air. With this bit of news from our network.
Oh, my.
Westwood One. Now, I only mention this because I find it interesting that starting May 1st, which I guess is Thursday. I got a memo from the president of Westwood One. We are excited to announce that May 1st, we have reached contractual agreement with Clear Channel Broadcasting in Salt Lake City to add the Don and Mike show, 1 to 5 p.m. Mountain Time. This brings us back to the market that we were in on a 50,000-watt AM station. Now,
wonderful.
All of that is great. However,
you say 50,000-watt AM?
Yeah. Oh. However, that's what it says, AM. Charlie thinks it might be FM, but it says in the memo.
He told me in the office it was FM. That's
well,
what I meant.
That's what Charlie told me, but I'm reading the memo that I got from the guy.
They
sweat. AM.
That says it. Well, either way, we had a problem in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Around, I don't think we had a problem in Salt Lake. I think the management of the previous station that we were on, that was a record for us. We were amazed that we lasted one day in Salt Lake City, and I think we were actually on the POS station for maybe 3 weeks?
I believe so. It was a very short tenure. They did not really know what they were getting when they hired us.
So now I know that a bunch of people at Westwood One are paying more attention to this show than they used to. Yeah. Salt Lake is a big market. It's like the 28th largest market in America, and it would be great to get a clear there. All I'm asking is please let them know.
Yeah.
Let them know
what they're getting.
What they're getting.
Yeah.
So we're not publicly embarrassed again
right.
when we announce that we have a clear in a top 30 market, and then, you know, 2 days later, people from Salt Lake call up and they go, oh, they took you off.
Yeah. We had a little problem there before. Obviously, Utah has some different ideas, but Salt Lake City is a big metropolis.
There are pockets of resistance in Utah,
oh, yeah.
And we'll be calling on those pockets of resistance. So anyway, I just put that. It's easy to do it on the radio.
Iraq has their Shiites also.
Mm-hmm. It's just easier to do it on the radio than it is to pick up the phone and talk to one of these numbskulls at Westwood One.
Anytime.
It's easier just to say it on the radio, call the station, and make sure they know what they're getting. Okay.
Very good.
Next item. Am I jumping off this Mr. Personality bandwagon?
Thank you. I watched it for the first time last night. I was ready to kick my television in.
Me too. All I have to say is the first episode was really, really good, and I...
Was she a bitch the first episode?
Yeah, but...
Most unpleasant woman I've ever seen in my life.
She's big Harry C. The woman.
She's horrible. I mean, and she didn't smile the whole time. She was just... The whole show she was sitting there going, yeah, and then at the end... Oh, you're going to Monica Lewinsky lecture men on character?
I'll tell you, the moment they lost me.
See?
the moment they lost me was when she was either getting into or coming out of the hot tub, and one of the idiots in the mask said, she's got a rocket body.
Rocket body, right.
Yeah, or whatever, you know, Evan Marriott told us, he really said rockin', not rocket.
Right. Right. And sure, I'll tell you, it's consistent, though, as she's whittling it down to the men who do not possess testicles.
Anyway, I'm off that bandwagon. Sorry that I held that out to you as a possible good show.
I was so angry.
The first episode was good.
At the end, with both of them sitting there with the guy in the blue mask who knew he was going to get booted for betting the dancer, and he knew he was going to get booted, and they hated it. Monica and the other bitch didn't like the fact that they had the opportunity, you know, to cut him, a new one, so that they were furious. And then Monica was saying something. Here are the real men. As the guys are sitting there going, I really hope I have a chance with her.
And what about the one moron when they were wearing the Hawaiian shirts? And I think he had the green mask. Who just said, hey, I've had it with this BS.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, hello, dummy. You signed up for the show.
Right.
You were told the premise that you'd have to wear the dumb green mask.
But I dug the guys. I love the guys that are taking their masks off because they're screwing it up for everybody. Yeah. They're screwing it up for the producers. Mm-hmm. And it's the worst thing he could have done to her at the end was take his mask off, because it didn't give her the opportunity. And then after the fact, when they dissed him, it didn't matter.
Right.
He got you first. Uh-huh.
He had already gotten her. So anyway, sorry I led you astray on that. And it was officially, I guess, about 9:15.
But Monica's making the comment. This was great. You're the guys that have the character.
Mm-hmm.
What stones she has.
She does, Mike.
I mean, literally, she's got berries now.
Literally, she's got testicles.
Yeah.
So, anyway, sorry I led you...
Don't apologize. I like getting that angry at a TV show. I haven't been that mad at a television show in a long time.
Because I would hate, Mike, for that to be my legacy with you. I like turning you on to good TV shows, and I hate that that's my legacy with you.
Hey, look, you know what? We still haven't gotten done paying you back for The Sopranos, my friend.
Thank you. That's my
right.
Legacy.
That's what you know. But the one guy, did you see the one guy that went down into the dark room with the girl and didn't kiss her or anything? And he's like, I really hope that he is the ultimate eunuch boy.
Yes. Yeah. I hope that she notices that I didn't do anything when I was down there with the whores.
Perfect gentleman. Meanwhile, they're really big on the... Fox is really big on the zip.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like that. No, I bet nothing happened.
And it's that same pre-recorded sound effect that we...
zip, and then you hear the... as though his face is somewhere.
Right, gotcha.
Wow.
So anyway, that's the update on Mr. Personality.
Very good.
Before we get to the NFL IQ test, which we're going to do in the first break today. So everybody, if you want to participate, everybody listening, all you home...
I'm nervous, I don't test well.
All you home listeners, you want to get out a piece of paper and a pencil, because this is like a 17-question test that we'll be taking. I do have just a brief message for Dr. Camel, the guy, Dr. I don't want to say anything towards any of our Arab friends, but the guy, the back doctor, who back in December told me when I went in after I was hit by the car and was looking at all kinds of back surgery, his fantastic... observation after years and years of Pakistani medical school was that I was fat.
You're a fat. You're a fat man. That is why we cannot operate.
So anyway, he's the guy that got me on the stick, and I got to go back to him today for a follow-up appointment on my back. And I got on the scale, and on December 6th, I weighed 269. Today, I weigh 217. That is in 21 and a half weeks. 52 pounds, which is approximately... Well, no, I'm still fat.
Congratulations.
But that's approximately 2.5 pounds a week. And even though in a roundabout way I really owe this guy a debt of gratitude...
Yeah, I said to you in the office, this guy motivated you.
For being the guy who really... Because he said to me, if you don't lose at least 30 pounds within like 45 days, you're going to have to do major surgery on your back.
Right.
But he's just such a pompous Pakistanian prick wearing his... clogs that I couldn't bring myself to do it to say thank you.
Same kind that Jay Stevens wears?
No, Jay Stevens wears the kind that are made out of the nylon fabric.
Mm-hmm.
He had on today when I was in his office, wooden clogs.
Wooden clogs.
With white socks.
Wow.
With white socks. Fantastic. So anyway, how you doing, Doc? And he alluded to the fact that I guess even though I've never said his name, I mentioned his less than stellar bedside manner, and that I believe his country of origin was Pakistan, some country that's loaded with sand. And he mentioned to me today that he's had some people figure out it was him.
And I
said, well, that must be because they must know you the same way that I know you.
Because of that bedside manner.
Just because of the way I described your bedside manner. So I got a big, you know, hello and goodbye to him. He's out of my life.
Oh, good.
I got the old clean bill of health from him, so he's out of my life.
Congratulations.
Well, that's a hell of an accomplishment, and yeah. I congratulate you for that.
Now, Mike, you have lost.
I have, but I haven't lost, you know, what you have lost.
Now, you have to remember that that's an average over 21.
Now, when I announced it last, I said 292 or 294.
Two.
Okay, yeah. I am down to. I weighed myself the next day and I was 294. This was last Wednesday, and I am now. I weighed myself this morning. I'm 291. So I am
very good.
On the verge of getting back into.
And that's
size 32 jeans.
That's about the average.
Now
to lose about 2.5 to 3 pounds a week.
You can do it.
That's about the average, Mike.
Yeah, and so you know, I'm motivated, and I guess Tuesday will be my day. Tuesday will be my day to report in.
Sure.
Then that'll motivate me.
Weigh-in day.
All right, way to go.
Weigh-in day, and at a certain point, you know, I'll let you know if I'm ready to just bag that whole idea.
No, don't do that.
I won't. No, I mean, it's
don't.
Just... Don't.
Stick
I'm,
with it.
I don't know. I'm going out tonight.
Be well, careful.
Just that's my problem. Just avoid the fried foods.
Well, food's not a problem. You know, when I go out and I have, like, beers,
Then
the next day my inhibitions are really lowered. That's my big problem. That's the vicious cycle that is my life right now. But I'm going to try to behave myself. You got to get by that one time in the evening. That's I call it my tough period, which goes from about 8 o'clock at night to about 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
If I can make it through that, and what I do now is I exercise when I feel that way.
Good.
And then when I get done exercising,
outstanding
exercising.
Then you eat?
No. then I actually turn in, and it helps. You know, I'm not going to appeal for full custody of my daughters, but it does help when I have them. When I have them, I'm much more energetic. I am up earlier in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't have them, I have no one else in the house. And so I immediately revert to a bachelor lifestyle and, you know, begin to live the life of, you know, I have no real obligations when my kids aren't there. So I live like, you know.
You have an obligation to your penis.
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. Indeed. Indeed. But I really have no motivations to do silly things like go to bed at a reasonable hour or even come home.
No, you shouldn't. You're a single, successful guy.
Who's overweight. And I'm working on losing the weight, you know?
You will find it. I mean,
I'm trying to get the, I'm trying to do the 10 to 15 pounds a week, though.
No bull ass. I think you're only going to do that with surgery.
I'm afraid so. Yeah, I'm afraid so.
You'll find nothing but support here. And I mean, that's no BS.
Hitting the treadmill again. Yeah, I've been, you know, doing that. And, man, what a pain in the ass that is.
I know.
I hate it.
Well, you're on a... Yeah, at least the scale's starting to go the right way now, so...
If I weighed what you weighed, I'd be done.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I mean, I would... That's my plan, Wade.
Don and Mike.
Believe it or not.
I still got about 10, 15 more to go. Hello?
Don and Mike.
And then someday I'll get down near Buzz's range, I guess, when I get AIDS. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Radio Gods.
Howdy.
Just calling to let you know I'm part of the legacy in Philly.
Part of the legacy. Hey, we're going to have a broadcast from Philly on Friday from WYSP.
All right.
And it's going to be a fun time.
Why not?
It's going to be a day of all sorts of interesting occurrences.
It's going to be a very, very memorable day. I promise everybody listening that Friday will be a memorable day because...
It's a memorable day.
We're having lunch with the management guys before we do the show. And
management including Tim Sabian on the Cartoon Network.
Yeah, we'll let you know. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for checking in.
Well, that'd be a fun lunch.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike, my brother.
Howdy.
Hey, I didn't know if you guys caught the nightly news last night, but Tom Brokaw made a slight misspeak in his news report.
I don't understand how that could happen.
What word did he screw up?
He was trying to say tax cut.
Tax cut.
And
did he say the C word?
He said, see you in Toledo, and he caught himself.
Tax cut.
Hack. Yeah, don't do it or you'll get dumped out.
No, I will not do it.
No, no, I'm talking to Mike.
Hunt.
Right after he said it, he paused for about 4 seconds and then, like, just went on with his dude.
Baseball, we refer to that as a text bunt.
You got to find that news clip.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, if we had the clip, we couldn't play it.
Right.
There was another radio station that was playing it this morning.
Well, I'm sure it's not an Infinity Broadcasting Station.
So, of course it wasn't.
Of course it wasn't. Because, you know, here's what's funny about Infinity is that we're the company that has the dumbest news jockeys in the world that talk about graphic sex stuff on the radio and have news jockeys that have people having sex in churches and stuff, yet at the same time, we're the company with the strictest rules.
Yeah.
Now.
Ironic.
Yeah, now we're the company with the strictest rules.
Ever since that, the rules have changed. Yeah.
So, listen, the NFL draft. It was this weekend. We did a bit of talking about it yesterday on the show. And I mentioned that we had, part of our draft preparation was that we had been given the Wunderlich test scores that the NFL rookies had taken. And we've been in contact with the Wunderlich people. And now we're going to have an abbreviated version of this test that everybody can take at home. Please welcome now the Jillian Barbary of the Don and Mike Show, the very soon-to-be pregnant, if not already, Lisa Herndon.
Ah, Lisa Herndon Broyhill.
And she has some information about this test.
Hmm.
We've been in contact with the people that actually give this test to the NFL rookies every year.
Right.
So go ahead, give me the same spiel that you gave me up in the office.
Okay, the Wunderlich test began working with the NFL through the Dallas Cowboys. In 1960, they began as an expansion team in the NFL. Through a business associate...
Hold on, Mike. Just listen now. Hold on. Just listen.
Hang on.
don't flip him off,
yes,
Lisa.
The ugliness has begun.
Okay.
I found it interesting. Go ahead.
Really,
yeah,
really,
no, I'm riveted. Go ahead.
Ignore him.
They found out about this test, and they used it. What they used it for was to test things like an offensive lineman. Is he prone to being offsides on an audible and things like that?
Yes.
In their first 3 years as an expansion team, they went from 0-11-1 to 8-8-1, and they attributed that to this test.
Hmm.
So they kept it real secret while it got out. The next expansion team... The Falcons and the Patriots started using it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And primarily what it was used for, the low scores, people would be trained differently. So they wouldn't just hand you a playbook and say, here you go. You know, they would more hands-on.
So listen, the low scores
like
be put out in the backyard with a leash around
it. Yeah.
So if you got a low score, they'd know that, you know, you're a borderline part.
No, he's not retarded.
And they would know that there would be something that they would...
this is Sam Huff.
Know that there would be something that they would have to do about the players that didn't score.
This is Sam Huff.
Exceptionally high on the Wunderlich test.
Right.
This is Sam Huff.
I hear he aced it, incidentally.
Oh, yep. Sure.
Sam Huff.
I think 48 out of 50, maybe.
Right,
sure.
Sam. It just doesn't get any better than this.
Right.
50-question test that they take in a time 12 minutes.
And I think everybody can agree the league has gotten brighter.
Absolutely.
Now, what about the scores now? While they officially don't give out scores, the scores somehow manage to leak out. And I know you're wondering the same thing I'm wondering.
Right.
Does today's modern NFL rookie... Are there any that score, say, between 0 and 5?
Yeah, I found a few years ago there were some 2s. In the mid-90s, there was a 0. Right. And, yes, in fact, you do get a score for your name, I think, of 3 points, though
right.
The person didn't write their name. So I'm talking to the guy at Wunderlich and saying, you know, I'm reading about the 0s and the 2s. Does that really happen? He said, yeah, it does happen, sadly. But... What that would mean is that whoever's taking the test has a difficulty either understanding the English language or can't read, period.
Okay.
And most of those...
But they're from some of the premier college institutions.
I was going to say, and based on their record the last few years, I bet a lot of the 2s are playing for your Washington Redskins.
Yes, absolutely.
And also, hi to everybody in Seattle, where you've suffered through 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years in a row now of not winning 5 or 6 games. Check those scores.
Yeah, check those Wunderlich scores.
And especially Cincinnati.
I bet Matt Elliott did well on his Wunderlich score.
Well, we're going to find out how they do, because we're going to take it now.
Good. You know, since Lisa started reading that history, 3 Bengals have jumped off sides.
now, taking the test today, we have, besides you guys at home.
Should we be in test position?
Yeah, get your paper and pencil out.
I'm ready.
We got me, Don.
Are we supposed to look at it yet?
That's
no,
Mike.
It's timed.
That's Mike, Rob, Jodan.
I'm come scared. On I'm scared. I don't want to do bad.
Come on in, Jodan and Buzz. Face.
Yes.
So we'll need Lisa to administer the test.
Can we start?
And
keep our papers face down.
And everybody at home, you can listen and take the test as well. It's very quick. 17 questions. Lisa says we can fly right through this.
Yeah,
all
right. We're going to go right through these. Now, there's 17. Most of the sample questions we have.
Do you read them to us? Is that what's going to happen?
Normally, it is a test where you have the test in front of you. So we've eliminated all the visual ones.
All right.
And I'm just going to read them.
All right. No cheating.
Okay. Are we ready?
I'm ready. Go. Okay. Number one. What number should come next in the series? 8, 4, 2, 1, half, quarter, blank.
All right.
I'm feeling very, very stupid right now.
Read it one more time quickly.
Okay.
What number comes next? 8, 4, 2, 1, half, quarter, blank. Number two. Assume the first two statements are true. Is the final one A, true, B, false, or C, not certain?
Okay.
The boy plays baseball. All baseball players wear hats. The boy wears a hat. Number three.
Well, wait, repeat that.
May I hear that again?
Assume the first two statements are true. Is the final one true, false, or not certain?
Okay, so give us the first two statements.
The boy plays baseball.
Yes.
All baseball players wear hats.
Yes.
So true, false, or not certain that the boy wears a hat.
All right, move
on. Number three. Paper sells for 21 cents per pad. What will four pads cost? Paper sells for 21 cents per pad. What will four pads cost? Number four. Present and reserve. These words have A, similar meanings, B, contradictory meanings, or C, meaning neither the same nor opposite. Present and reserve. Number five. A train travels 20 feet in 1/5 a second. A train travels 20 feet in 1/5 a second. At this speed, how many feet will it travel in 3 seconds?
Again.
Train travels 20 feet in 1/5 second. At the same speed, how many feet will it travel in 3 seconds? Number 6. When rope is selling at 10 cents a foot, how many feet can you buy for 60 cents?
Repeat that, please.
Rope sells for 10 cents a foot. How many feet can you buy for 60 cents? Number 7. The ninth month of the year is October, January, June, September, or May. The ninth month of the year. Number 8. Which of the following numbers represents the smallest amount? Represents the smallest amount. 7, 8 tenths, 31, 33 hundredths, and 2. 7, 8 tenths, 31, 33 hundredths, 2. Number 9. The hours of daylight and darkness in September are nearest equal to the hours of daylight and darkness in June, March, May, or November. Daylight and darkness in September nearest equal to June, March, May, or November. Number 10. Assume the first two statements are true. Is the final one true, false, or not certain? Same as that one before. Tom greeted Beth. Beth greeted Dawn. Tom did not greet Dawn. Tom greeted Beth. Beth greeted Dawn. Tom did not greet Dawn. True, false, or not certain? Number 11. A boy is 17 years old and his sister is twice as old. 17-year-old boy, his sister is twice as old. When the boy is 23, how old will his sister be? Boy is 23, how old is his sister? Number 12. Choose the verb that correctly completes the following sentence. Have you blank the painting yet? Finish, finishes, finishing, finished. Have you blank the painting yet? Finish, finishes, finishing, finished.
Uh-huh.
13. Choose the answer that means nearly the same to the following word. Inaccuracy. Mistake. Type of medicine, prison, or chance happening?
What?
The word that
joke.
Most nearly means the same as the following. The word is inaccuracy, mistake, type of medicine, prison, or chance happening. Number 14, 56 divided by 4. 56 divided by 4. Number 15.
Wait.
No, sorry, it's a time test. The 5:15 train. The 5:15 train takes 2 hours and 10 minutes to get to Greystone. 5:15 train takes 2 hours and 10 minutes to get to Greystone.
What question are we on?
15. The train will be 15 minutes late. What time does it get to Greystone? The 5:15 train takes 2 hours and 10 minutes to get to Greystone. Today it will be 15 minutes late. What time did it get to Greystone? Now listen, I gotta listen closely to the following directions. I'm gonna read a sentence and break it down into three sections. If you hear a mistake in the first section, your answer is A. In the second section, B. Third section, C. If you hear no error, circle D. Okay?
Okay.
Because they were feeling sick, I don't send them to school today. Maybe they will be feeling better. Because they were feeling sick, I don't send them to school today. Maybe tomorrow they will be feeling better. Number 17, last question.
Hold on, David. Totally don't get that question.
I don't understand that question either.
I read the statement in three sections. I paused and read it in three sections.
Just let me know what statement one is, what part one is, what part two is, what part three is.
A, because they were feeling sick.
Okay.
B, I don't send them to school today.
Okay.
C, maybe tomorrow they will be feeling better.
Thank you.
17, last question. Choose the word that best completes the sentence. We waited downstairs for 10 minutes. At last, the blank arrived and we rode up to the 10th floor. Bus, package, elevator, or neighbors?
Can you repeat that, please? I'm sorry, I was doing another question.
Joe.
We waited downstairs for 10 minutes. At last, the blank arrived and we rode up to the 10th floor.
I didn't even hear the first part. I wasn't paying attention to the question. I swear to God, I wasn't. I didn't listen. Read it again. Start it again. 17.
We waited downstairs.
No, what is the question?
Oh, choose the word the best.
Thank you. That's what I wanted. I didn't hear that.
Oh. I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead.
That's it.
What is 17? I asked you to repeat the entire question. I didn't even listen to it.
Choose the word that best completes the sentence.
Okay.
We waited downstairs for 10 minutes. At last, the blank arrived and we rode to the 10th floor. Bus, package, elevator, or neighbors?
Okay, now that is the test. Now, everybody give your results to Lisa.
All right.
And during the break, she will grade them.
All right.
And Mike, you have to turn yours in now.
All right.
I'm going to tell you right now, I feel very dumb.
It's math.
I feel very dumb.
I feel like a total moron.
Keep in mind that the NFL guys...
It's going to be just like the depth thing. This is going to be just like the depth thing.
No, I bet I'm dumber than any of you guys.
No, I am.
You think you'll tie with Joe?
I don't think so.
Really?
Joe.
I don't... Train, get to the station, time, mathematics, math, F math.
You know,
that's why I do what I do.
Hey, right.
To avoid math.
Right.
Lisa? God damn it, I got the train one wrong, so I see that I wrote the right answer here.
Well, then it's too late. You can't go back and change it.
But there's my answer right there, and I don't think that's what I wrote down.
That's testing.
Okay. All right, you're right. Whatever.
I didn't get the twice the number. How old would they be? That's the...
I'm a dummy. We'll find out how we scored on this test in a second.
When, are we going to have to wait through the break?
Well, if she could just come in and, I mean, I would imagine.
I am terrified of this. I want to get this over with.
I'm embarrassed.
I'm
a little nervous.
Call her in. Let's call her in. 17 answers. I don't think we need to know exactly what questions were missed. But I'd like to know who's the dumbest and who's the smartest.
Have you guys ever taken IQ tests?
I read the answers and then go back and grade the papers and let you know who's smartest and dumbest?
No. Can't you just grade them right now?
Why don't we all just grade our... Let's switch papers.
Switch papers and grade somebody else's like you did in school.
All right. Very good.
Okay.
All right.
That's a funny idea.
Okay.
All right.
And then just give us the answers.
All right. And circle the ones that are correct, put a line through the ones that are incorrect. And then add the circles up, right?
And I got young.
Hey, Mike, I got yours.
Great.
I got Buzz's.
And
I wait. Who's do I have?
Mike.
I've got Rob's.
I've got Joe's. I want Don to give Joe switch with
Mike,
Don.
Mike, I won't F with yours. I promise.
Switch with Don.
No.
You'll do it just to make me embarrassed.
I will. I swear.
I don't trust you.
You can look at it after I'm done grading it.
All right.
And I'm John Norman took it too, so I'm just gonna
skip John. No one cares about him. Who took mine? Who's got mine? Joe's got mine?
I care desperately about John.
I mean, I care about John, too, but he wasn't here in the studio.
Right.
So let's...
Now, Mike, I was between rooms. What are your grading instructions again? Circle, lines, what?
Forget it. I mean, I didn't even hear the last question.
Right.
I screwed that up.
What's the answer to the first question?
Do you want me to repeat the question?
No, no.
What's the first answer?
Okay. Number one, 1/8.
Mike, you got that right.
Buzz missed it.
Second one.
True.
Mike, you got that right.
3 is 84 cents.
Fourth.
Number 4.
Did I get 3 right?
I'll let you know at the end.
No, you can't do that to me.
You can't be the only one. No one else is piping up and saying what everybody got.
Joe has gotten 3 out of 3.
Mike, you gotten 3 out of 3.
Right. Buzz is 2 for 3.
Thank you, Rob. Rob is 3 for 3.
How am I, Joe?
2 out of 3.
2 out of 3. Okay.
Okay, number 4 mean neither the same nor the opposite.
Okay.
Number 5, 300 feet.
Okay.
Number 6, 6 feet.
Okay.
Number 7, September.
Okay.
Number 8, 33 hundredths.
Okay.
Number 9, March. Number 10, not certain. Number 11, 40 years old. Number 12, finished. Number 13, mistake.
Uh-huh.
Oh, is that
that's right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, mistake. Number
14
is 14.
That's a trick.
Yeah, it is.
Number 15 is 740. Number 16 is B. I don't send them to school today.
Okay.
And the last one is neighbor. No, I'm just kidding. It's elevator.
I messed that one up because I didn't hear it. I didn't even know what was going on.
Okay, so Mike, let me see now. We can add up.
What is good? What is supposed to be good?
Hold on. Let's get everybody's grades first.
All right.
And I'm grading Mike's, and then we'll find the scale. Out of 17, Mike had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wrong. So that means 12 right, 5 wrong. Or Mike. Joe, how many wrong and how many right did I have? Joe.
I have Rob's score.
10 right.
10 right.
10 right, 7 wrong. Me. Congratulations, Mike. You're not... I'm the dumbest thus far.
You're not going to believe mine. That I'm grading, you're not going to believe mine.
Oh, okay. Buzz, who'd you have?
I have Rob, and he missed 1 out of 17, so that's 1 wrong, 16 right.
16 out of 17.
Big brain on Rob.
Robbie.
I had Buzz. He went 14 for 17.
Wow. Not good at math, just like Mike.
And Mike.
Joe Arch had 14 out of 17.
Okay.
That means you and I are the dumbest ones in the room.
And don't worry about picking up the rear, because you're looking at him right here.
Congratulations, Don. I'll tell you, the average out of 50 for the NFL players is 17 out of 50. They get correct.
So we would have been well above that.
So let's see. Rob was first best.
Mm-hmm. Also, there is a distinct disadvantage to taking a test like this orally. It is completely different.
I agree.
When you have it on paper, especially the math, you do the math and that.
Seems to me that Rob, Buzz, and Joe didn't have a problem with it.
How many did you get right?
10.
And I got 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Effort.
Okay. Well, you know what? Too bad, you guys, because me and Mike are the stars of the show. That was interesting.
That was an interesting exercise.
Very interesting.
Wow. I really should have gotten 13 if I'd heard the last one, but we went through that whole exercise of repeating the question.
Don and Mike, hello. And I had the right score for the train thing, but...
You know, I really ought to get
down the wrong one.
Hello? You know what? Really? I think we should both give each other... You give yourself the train, and I give myself the last moron question that everybody...
All right, but we're still the dumbest. Hello?
Well, hey.
Hey.
This is Chris.
Yes, hi, Chris.
How are you guys doing?
This is Chris from Chris Seattle. I didn't do well in the Wonderlic test, but I know it's Chris.
Yeah. I'm on my way up to Seattle, and I got a little thing on my truck.
Chris, you're still doing your baby talk, boys.
Call back when you're using your real voice. Oh, man, we got a break. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
What's up?
I'm dumb.
I got a 5 out of 7, or 12 out of 17 also.
Well, actually, I got 13.
You got 13?
No, it's Mike got 13.
Mike got 13?
I got 11.
I'm around the same range as you guys.
Congratulations.
Well, that's not...
All that like, bad. No.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I got 15 out of 17, but I don't understand question number 15. The train one, the 7:40 one.
That's simple math. That's simple math, and I had the right answer and just wrote down the wrong one.
What? Didn't she say, but it's 10 minutes late?
It leaves at 5:15, was supposed to arrive 2 hours and 10 minutes later, and it was 15 minutes late.
Right.
So that's
I thought it arrived at 2:10.
What about the sunset and the months, the May, June, April one?
That's it is 6 months away, basically, because of how the seasons and the cycles changed. The daylight and darkness
is going to
be exact, and weather too will be 6 months exactly different. And Charlie just walked in, and he took it last night, and he got all of them right.
Okay, all right,
just like a school exam trick question.
I'm very happy that your husband, the monkey, got them all right. Congratulations.
It doesn't count if he takes it under different circumstances.
True.
Doesn't matter, Mike.
He can get all of them right. He still has to go out and get our soft drinks for us. Clear the lines. No, actually, he can order someone else to get our soft drinks.
Yeah,
that's
he
right.
is in a supervisory capacity.
Let's get a call 100 right now.
Hate those effing tests.
I don't mind it. Come on, it's fun to take it. And I did the worst.
Yeah, but it's the second test I've had that I've done poorly in. One was hearing.
Well, that one you can't control.
I know.
877-365-3636. Call 100 right now. Get the shot at $500 with the secret sound. Good luck, all you geniuses.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did you really mean what you said up there?
Uh-huh. I just want you to be happy, Mary.
But I'd be happiest with you.
What about Brett Favre?
What'd I tell you the first time we met? I'm a Niners fan.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's all I had to say about that.
Practicing total sphincter control. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We're in contact with the good people at Westwood One. In fact, it is a legendary station, which apparently has, like many legendary stations, turned to crap.
Yeah, we're going to bring it back up.
That's why we'll be on a call. A very famous radio station, KALL. One of the all-time yes brain.
You ever get the feeling that you're boarding the Titanic from the iceberg?
I didn't get that joke because I didn't do well on the Wonderlic test. Yeah,
also, I'll explain it to you mathematically later.
anyway, it's KALL. The big 700.
You know,
that starts Thursday in Salt Lake.
I'm really out today.
Ow!
Don't worry about it.
I'm out of gas already. The show's not even
Don't worry
an hour
about the Wonderlic thing.
Old, and I've just given all I can give today. That's what testing does to me.
Sit back. You know, and Rob, it's not fair. Yes. Listen, for you to sit here and bust Mike's balls about the times tables during the commercials. Well, Rob starts with Mike, what's 12 times 12? Mike goes, I don't know. Okay. And then, like, Mike's a retard. He starts, what's 12 times 10?
You know, Rob would have been like MIT if he even remotely applied himself.
Yeah. It's true.
I mean, really, what would you have been? I mean, where did your... Because you always talk about the fact that we kind of went that same college route together. We
Athlete
went on that
resistance.
really that, you know, that didn't apply themselves kind of school system. Where was your breakdown? Where did you just fool around a lot or what?
No, I actually did pretty good in college.
You did. I mean, I did well in college.
I think I'm
just talking about the colleges we we got into.
Well, at the time, VCU was a valid choice because they were accredited for Mass Comm then.
Right. What was your GPA in high school?
I think like a 3.6, 3.7, somewhere around there.
I was like a 3.4. All right. Okay.
See, here's the funny. I was a 3.9.
Right. Wow. Right.
But the deal was, all I would do is go in and study my ass off,
mm-hmm.
pass the test.
That's all I would do.
And never remember. Because I knew my only goal every day I went to high school was to get out as fast as I possibly could.
Well, and my problem was SATs, because testing, just like that last test, I was horrible at it. And, and so you know what? So is my my cousin Johnny, tested very poorly, or so I'm told. And you know what he is now? He's an invasive cardio surgeon.
Mike.
So there you go. I'm a little uptight.
As somebody who was dumber than you on the Wunderlich test,
yes.
Let it go.
I will. Just
let it go, man.
It kills me. It will always kill me that academically I didn't do more with my life.
Let it go. Look where you are.
I understand.
Look where you are.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
There'll be time for that later.
Reflection?
No, going back to school.
Going back to school. And meanwhile, stroke over there. How did you do on the test?
Today's test, I got 14 out of 17.
Okay. Yeah. Joe wanted me to correct his number.
Joe.
Joe got 15 out of the 17. Wow. I incorrectly graded his test because it was an academic exercise.
All right.
Let it go.
It's so hard for me to do
it go.
Okay. I'll let it go.
Let me explain it to
Daddy will be having a cocktail tonight.
Let me explain it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure, as you just heard, because I'm not a smart guy,
right?
Which side of the brain it is that does which side,
mm-hmm.
but you and I, generally speaking,
mm-hmm.
more on the creative side.
Yes.
And congratulations, mm-hmm. because whatever that brain side is, you got more of it than I do.
Well, yeah, I understand. And I'll feel better, you know. I'm fine. I'm fine with it. I'm fine.
I think you're left-brained. I think it's the left side that's the creative.
Of course you would know that.
Of course.
Of course.
And that's great. You know, I'm in a good mood today. I bought a new automobile today.
There you go.
I bought a new automobile for all of you environmentalists that consumes just obnoxious quantities of gasoline.
There you go.
And spews filthy fumes into the air.
Stick it to the man.
Did you check on them when they figured your payment?
I am an American.
Hello?
I'm going to check the math on that.
Hello? Not in my show. Hello? Are you there? I had a caller for the contest, and now he's gone. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I'm caller 100.
Yeah, yes, you are, my friend. And what is your name?
Kevin.
All right, Kevin, get ready. Here you go. Tickets for Pete Gabriel, Sunday, June 22, Nissan Pavilion. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster and NissanPavilion.com. Tickets to see Boston, Saturday, June 21, Nissan Pavilion. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster, NissanPavilion.com. Tickets for Chicago, Nissan Pavilion, June 3. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster and NissanPavilion.com.
Wow.
Enjoy, my friend.
Awesome, thank you.
Plus, you won the Skinemax prize pack. For information, log on to Skinemax,
right.
Or as you folks call it, Cinemax,
uh-huh.
.com. Friday we're giving away $500, courtesy of Cinemax. We want to thank them for that.
Mm.
And we will have Aerosmith and Kiss tickets that we're giving away on today's show.
Cool.
Those are the, when you win them before you can buy them. You got your stuff. Now you're going to play for $500 with a secret sound, a common everyday sound. Your clues, yellow and 16. You ready?
Yes.
Play the sound now. Wish you good luck. Please don't answer till Mike sings like
Shaquille O'Neal featuring Fushnikins.
Oh,
what's up, Doc?
Hey.
What's up, Doc?
You'll hear that.
What's up, Doc? I'm waiting for your Paul. What's up, Doc?
How are you doing? Caller, name this sound.
I know we do a lot of bits that are hated by a lot of people. And much like Elvis do Elvis, the Shaq and Dennis show is one that we love, but generally our listeners have told us they hate it.
Yep.
But we're bringing it back anyway.
When I rock the hoop, yo, you'd better decipher. Can we rock? What's up, Doc? Can we rock?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's up, Doc? How you doing?
For $500. What is that sound?
The sound of a school bus door closing.
Sound of, no.
Excellent. Oh, we're sorry.
A very small door.
Yes.
Maybe for a small bus.
Exactly.
Maybe for somebody like us who scored poorly on the Wunderlich test.
Jay Stevens bus.
Listen, thank you, my friend. And
thank you.
That every guest
is a clue for you.
Is a clue for you. I got some inside radio stuff here. Let's wait and see if these people are calling for the contest before we get to that. We do have an advanced copy of the new Playboy, which features Sarah from Joe Millionaire. Sarah was the foot fetish girl?
Yes. Oh, the girl that didn't show up on the final episode that was kind of bitter.
Right. And here she is naked now.
Wow.
No bush. No bush.
Typical Playboy spread.
Here you go. Here's the first picture of Sarah.
She's beautiful. Those are beautiful photographs.
She's nice looking.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there was some airbrushing done.
There had to be.
Oh, always.
Boy, she takes a nice photograph, though.
The first shot is of her with her back to the camera, so you see her her butt. And then over here, she's dressing up like a showgirl, and she's topless. And then she shows one breast in the next picture, and then you go to the next page, and she's wearing, like, this is such a waste.
See-through
lingerie.
It's not even a photo spread. You know, you have Playboy take your clothes off.
And here she is leaning over a chair, but she's doing it sideways, so you can't really see anything.
Uh-huh.
And then finally, here's another one. They love this, the shooting her from the back, so you just see her ass. And again, she's wearing some kind of see-through nightgown. And then finally, wearing like a Follies-type Dolly, Carol Channing, Hello Dolly thing around her neck. One of those, what do you call these things? They're that
feather boa.
A boa.
A boa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's got 1.5 breasts exposed.
You know, Playboy wonders why their circulation is down.
And that's it. So if you're wondering, because now the deal with Playboy is, and all of the magazines, you can't walk into a newsstand and look at them because they're in plastic bags.
Right.
So if you're thinking about it, if you look at the cover and you go, wow, Sarah nude, what Joe Millionaire missed.
No, not really.
Take it from us. Outside of, let me just count.
I mean, Bob Guccione had it right when he photographed women.
Mm-hmm. Let me just count the pictures where you actually can see both of her breasts. Now, this one doesn't really count because they're blurry.
Right.
Okay?
That doesn't count at all.
That
wouldn't even be one.
Okay. And this one doesn't count because you can't see her nipple.
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and this one you can't see her nipple.
Nope.
No breasts at all in this one.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
She's covering one up totally in this
doesn't
picture.
Count. Mm-hmm. Nope.
In this picture, she's wearing a nightgown.
Uh-huh.
In this picture, she's wearing a nightgown that's see-through, but you can only see
one breast, so it doesn't count as two.
One of the two. Then in this picture, you can see them both, but she has her arm over the left nipple.
Nope, doesn't count.
Here you get one breast.
Nope.
Here you get
none.
And even in this last picture,
it's really one.
The feather boa is going over her boob.
Right.
And in the very final picture,
only one. It only doesn't one. Count. You do not see both of her
That's
breasts.
Not right.
She's the Mariah Carey of getting her.
And let me tell you something. The makeup they put on her, for anybody that watched the TV show, they put clown makeup on her to make her face look different.
Two.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
Accident occurred.
What are you doing there, Rob? Oh, I got something on the air. I got some traffic stuff on the air. So anyway, don't waste your money, guys.
You've done a public service.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello?
Hello, Mike. Don.
Yes.
How you guys doing?
Great, thanks.
Good. Say, listen, you were talking about the creative side of the brain just a few seconds ago.
Yes, sir.
And it's the right side of the brain that's the creative side.
Uh-huh. Did Rob get that wrong?
Yes, he did.
Ha-ha. Thank you, my friend.
One question.
Yes.
Guys?
Yeah.
When in the hell is Cousin Luigi going to make a return?
You know, I know you've called about that, and people have called about that.
He'll be back.
I cannot tell you how I miss him.
See, here's the problem. Mike and I talk about this, too.
Uh-huh.
That we both have this pet peeve.
Yeah, I know.
That, like, if Mike's got a good bit like Cousin Luigi,
mm-hmm.
Here's how it works every week. I get together with Mike. I got an idea of who he might do, and Mike's got an idea. We get together. We figure out who he's going to do for Jeopardy. But
a couple of weeks ago, didn't that, like a month ago, a month and a half ago?
Yeah.
It was right before we went down to New Orleans.
Mike said, hey, how about Cousin Luigi?
I've gotten a call about that, and I understand where you're coming from.
A great idea, but we can't do it because that guy just called the show.
Yeah, right.
It's like, let us do the show. Please.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Listen, I appreciate the fact you think it's a good bit. We think it's a good bit, too. Mm-hmm.
Well, people from Rochester are kind of pushy, as you well know, so I just...
Well, just lay low, and you'll hear it soon.
Okay.
Okay, thank
Have
you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. It's just...
Well,
it's a pet peeve.
Yeah. And when I hear that, I always go, great.
What? When you hear what?
It's great, because I was going to pitch it this week.
Oh, well, we can't do it this week.
Can't do it now.
Because the guy just called, and it would appear that we're just doing whatever the dumb callers tell us to do.
God damn it.
One guy has spoiled it for everyone else.
What a Tuesday. Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Okay.
All right.
Hey, I'm sorry, you can't trust a guy with a Wisconsin accent. It's the left side.
Okay, so you're saying so the left side is the creative. Well, I thought he
the left side is the creative, the right side is the analytical, and I only missed one on the test.
Okay. Has anybody ever really proven that, too?
Okay. Yeah, how do you prove that?
I think they have.
Excuse me, I burped. But how would you prove that? What do you do? You
scientists, excuse me, scientists measure neurological activity.
Sorry.
What happens? You can split it with your right side covers.
You can split a listener's head open and look at it.
But I mean, in order to get
I've seen it on CSI, and incidentally, I said I seen it on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, but I seen it on CSI where they cut someone's brain apart.
Mm-hmm. Where they stick things into the brain to figure out how I'm feeling. Like
you and I are so dumb.
It says here, the left side of the brain is the seat of language and processes in a logical and sequential order.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's analyze that. Uh-huh. It says here,
yes.
This man is reading to you from a computer.
From they.com.
This man...
In the great tradition of news people.
This man is working...
Spewing out what the printed page says.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the difference.
Uh-huh.
Were the flying Willendas... Mike and I are working without a net.
Uh-huh.
Everybody else on this show, not only are they working with a net, uh-huh. but they got those springs in their shoes.
Absolutely.
Those like slinkies in their shoes.
That's what they got.
So, yeah. Man, when they fall off the cliff, boing, they just bounce right back up again.
It's all about safety, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
You're here.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, now that you've already decided you're doing Shaq and Rodman, I want to say I love that gig, and I'm glad you're doing it. It cracks me up so bad.
Well, we get lots of hate
so cold. Bad.
No, it's so awesome. Keep doing it. Thank you very much. And, Mike, you are very creative, and you don't have all them book smarts, but you do awesome voices. We love you, man.
Thank you.
That's right.
You go, Mike. Great now. A new image is born.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
What's going on? Hey. This is Matt from the Legacy of Philly.
Right, and incidentally, that's the correct way from Philly. You're calling from the Legacy, part of the Legacy.
That's right, that's right. Yeah, I wanted to thank you, Don, yesterday for your motivational words of wisdom to go out and partake in getting laid.
Yeah, listen, I got to tell you, it's great. You get laid and your whole day's better.
Oh, my day has been wonderful today.
And that message courtesy the left side of my brain.
There it is.
And now here's the guy. I just want to say, after this guy calls, no more dicks like this. Jeremy, Sacramento.
Hey, interesting name.
Guys, just calling to say that he got all the questions right.
Well, I only wanted to call because it's a miracle I did, since I feel so much stupider after watching Mr. Personality last night.
Stupider?
Stupider. Dumber. Less intelligent.
I mean, really, you got them
make
all
your,
right.
Make your mind
stupider.
Up.
Stupider. I mean,
well, any of those, after watching Mr. Personality. That was, I don't know. It was not one of your better predictions.
Shut up, Dick. Can we put this in a bottle and just label it Sacramento Call? And that way,
Sacramento
if we
call?
Ever need... If we ever need like the extract, not just the juice, but like a rarefied, purified Sacramento,
like 100 proof.
Exactly.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don?
Yeah, Don and Mike, hi.
Yeah, hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to call and say I got 0 out of 17 on that test because I was picturing Lisa as a school-teaching nun.
All right, thank
Let's
you.
See, that guy's smart.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Radio God, what's
this
up?
This guy's not.
Hi.
Just want to let you know, 13 out of 17, so I'm with you, Mike.
No,
and
you're
I was
not.
Walking on a couple of them. No. But anyway, about the Playboy's, the Playboy spread?
Yeah.
You know it's no good by the title of a magazine. They haven't had a good spread in 25 years.
Thank you, my friend. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. I'm calling from Wichita, Kansas. We love you here.
Thank you, KFHFM, right on.
Right. Hello, I'm calling to point out, because my husband pointed this out, on Sarah in the Playboy ad, I think her left nipple is bigger than her right nipple. And that's why we never see her left nipple.
You know, I was thinking that there might be a reason you only see one breast. Is it always the same breast that you
well,
see?
Well, the one with the feather boa.
Yeah, it
if
is.
If you look at that, I mean,
it's the left one.
It kind of looks a little
The left
bit
nipple
bigger.
Is the logical nipple. In the...
But if the left one is bigger...
Uh-huh.
You then, say to the newsman,
yeah, no,
he wasn't using the TV screen for that
I
one.
I laugh. Yeah. But if the left one's bigger, they're covering up the wrong one.
You like the big nipples.
Who doesn't?
It might just be about symmetry that they don't
right.
match.
Right.
Who doesn't like big nipples?
You know, if you got two that are different sizes, show us.
Thank you. Yeah, come on.
It's all part of the tapestry of being a human being.
Being a girl.
A girl.
Being a girl that was on a TV show.
Mm-hmm, the sluttiest girl.
Hello, Don, Mike.
Hey, guys. First of all, I really enjoyed hearing that last caller say the word nipple. But, Mike, cheer up. You do low-budget Jeopardy so well with the math. You have nothing to worry about, man.
That's pretty funny. That makes me laugh, because if anybody knew what a challenge that really is for me.
Hello there, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Buzz.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to say that the guy who called about Cousin Luigi before does not represent Rochester.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, our listeners are wound up today, aren't
Don
they?
Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello. Don and Mike are gay. Don Geronimo, gay. Mike O'Mara, gay. Buzz Burbank, gay. Rob Egg, gay. Roy Hill, gay. Lisa Herndon is gay. You must not understand me when I tell you and Don and Mike are gay. Joel Ardinger, gay. Ken Stevens, gay. Jeremy Coleman, gay. Tim McWilliams, gay. Dennis Murphy, gay. Thomas Aloysius Gavin, gay. Don and Mike CD-ROM, gay. Nick Joe, gay. Christina Kerner, gay.
Really going back in time.
Gay. Donald E. from gay. Harv Moore, gay. Barry Lujak, gay. Alan Goodman, gay. Stevie Icon Boy, gay. Stuart, gay. Daryl the Big Dyke is gay.
Yeah.
Got the Argumentative Dwarf is gay. Having sex in the church is gay.
Any doubt.
That's good.
Good That's show. A good call.
Good
quality
show.
Right Thank you there, my friend. Call anytime. Give that guy our direct line. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you guys had shirts on when you came in here. Well, something happened to him, man. Come on, Spicoli. Just put the shirts back on. You see that sign? No shirt, no shoes, no tie. Show. Right. Learn it. Know it. Live it.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yes, company.
Get out of here, Curtis. I don't hear you unless you knock.
A man!
Huzzah! The Don and Mike Show.
Huzzah yourself.
Need some get back.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, back.
Hello.
Hello.
You're on the air. Hi.
Hey,
you are on the air. Hello.
Hey, I have a question for you guys.
Yes, sir.
I have kidnapped my sister squadron's mascot. And
what?
I am
Start again. What?
I'm in the Air Force.
You're in the Air Force.
I have kidnapped my sister squadron's mascot.
So your sister's in the Air Force too?
No, my the other squadron that's aligned with us.
Oh, I understand. Your sister squadron.
Okay.
Where are you? Where are you based out of? Where are you?
McGuire Air Force Base.
Okay.
And now each squadron in the Air Force has a different mascot.
Some of them do, and this squadron happens to have a stupid bowling ball.
A bowling
as a mascot.
That's a bad mascot, dude.
Yeah. Well, we agree. That's why it's.
So I imagine it didn't take a master plan.
Yeah,
to go in and kidnap it.
Probably no duct tape required for that kidnapping.
Well, actually, it did because they carry the bowling ball when they do PT. They carry the bowling ball when they go to commander's call. When they do everything, went to their Christmas party with them.
This is not really a good commercial for our United States Air Force.
Well, you know, the war's over, so I mean, we won. I think it's okay. You know, this point, maybe there's a little steam being blown off now, and I think that's all right.
All right, so anyway, you work for another Air Force group, and you stole this other group's bowling ball, their mascot.
What is the mascot of your squadron?
I can't tell you, because if any of them are listening, they'll know who I am.
I mean, what is it, a sneaker? A baseball glove? What is it?
No, but what I need to know is we're trying to write a ransom note for it.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're fresh out of ideas for ransom notes.
Boy, am I glad we won that war.
I'm really glad.
What would be one of the more elaborate mascots of a squadron?
A more elaborate one? There's airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any animals?
There's bulls, there's
right.
Eagles, all sorts of stuff.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking about. Or do you have like one of those dumb guys? All the NFL teams have them, and all the baseball teams have them. You know, like the Philly Fanatic, or
the
guy who dresses up in 49ers games wearing the Gold Rush outfit.
Well, these guys call this thing the Honorable Orb.
I think I can help you with your ransom note if your bowling ball has a thumb hole in it.
Yes, it has all three holes in it.
Okay, if it's got all three holes in it, then you can threaten to put a firecracker in one of the holes. And ransom notes are all about, like, threatening the worst possible thing. And the best way to do, you know, if you do not, what do you want from the other squadron? You want a case of beer?
Or hold on, Mike, the other way, threaten to start filling the holes with concrete.
It's too mellow, though. I think you want to destroy the bowling ball.
Now, hold on.
Or if you want to maybe take the bowling ball up to the highest building on base and drop it off.
But you're talking about, for instance, not that I have any experience at this, but you're talking about if you were to kidnap someone. What you would do is, I'm from the school of thought that you cut off a finger and send the finger.
So here's the deal. Here's how we combine our great ideas.
You don't immediately cut to the chase.
Here's how we combine our great ideas. You tell them that we have already filled one of the thumb hole with concrete.
Okay.
And if you want to see this bowling ball, even in its disfigured state, without it being destroyed and blown up with a firecracker.
Yeah. Right.
We've already, and fill the, maybe something, it could be concrete or something even more nasty.
Tell them you filled it with number two.
Right.
Tell them that each of you guys squatted over this thing and have filled it with number two, and no matter how much they scrub and no matter how much they get in there with a toothbrush, they're never going to get that part of you out.
And if they ever want to see, of course, after that, they're probably not going to want to see their bowling ball. They'll say,
we put it in a bowling ball washer at the bowling alley today.
You did? We've seen those from our many, many stints bowling, those fabulous bowling ball washers.
Yeah.
So it's all clean and shiny?
Why don't you threaten this?
All clean and shiny.
Hold on. Now, you'd have to have a guy with a real small penis or a guy who had a real big thumb hole, but why don't you threaten to have sex with a bowling ball?
Better yet, why don't you get a Polaroid camera and take a picture from the waist down of somebody having sex with the bowling ball and send it over to the other squadron?
That. Or at the very least, now I know this is going to sound gay, but it would have to be from the waist down in an aroused state.
Oh, dear.
Okay, so the picture they get is of the guy's thing with the helmet going right up to maybe...
You'd have to have a really very non-endowed individual.
Well, no. What I'm saying is,
a thumb hole. I mean, I don't know anybody.
Either that are really endowed because it's a 15-pound ball.
You're not going to suspend the ball from the.
Well, what I'm saying though is, just get the picture that shows the guy's thing going right up to where you put your fingers in,
as if it's about to.
Listen, this is what's going to happen,
or this is what's happening right now. If you want this abuse to continue, just don't send us our case. What are you going to be requiring of the other squadron? What is your ransom note going to demand?
Well, I think we're going to demand that they do PT for us for a week.
Well, that's good.
I'd let you keep the bowling ball.
let us know, but that's our advice. That's a flawed demand, because once again, it's going to reveal who has the ball.
Well, not necessarily. There might be a variety of squadrons that get PT.
Well, right.
There's three squadrons in our group.
Yeah, so they're not really ever going to be ratted out as the guys.
Take a picture of a guy about to have sex with a bowling ball. Then in your notes say, more of this, including a firecracker in the thumb hole, if you do not do PT for us.
Hey, that's... All right.
And also, I like the idea about threatening to fill the holes with concrete.
Yeah, I like that idea, too.
You know, do everything short of just, dropping it and breaking it, because it's like... In my many kidnappings that I've had over my long time on the planet Earth, and thank goodness I've always been the kidnapper and never the kidnappee.
I always thought you did a very good job at it.
But what you do is you always keep the hostage alive, because once you lose the hostage...
Well, and in credit to you, whenever you get your ransom money, every hostage was returned without a scratch.
Yeah, well...
I always thought, as a matter of fact, better fed than they were before, and for some reason it was that whole hostage identify with the captor thing where they all were like your best friend.
They all fell in love with me.
Yeah, we don't want to hurt the hostage.
Right, absolutely. You don't want to hurt the hostage.
No. But there's no reason
we lose all of our
leverage.
Our leverage and power if we.
And there's no reason you couldn't take a Polaroid with, like, if you had a sledgehammer with a guy with the sledgehammer right on top, you know, just about ready to, to wrap this thing and you know, just threaten. But you don't have to hurt the bowling ball.
Right.
The honorable orb, yeah.
The honorable orb doesn't have to be touched, and hopefully it'll work out to your. But hey, whatever you do, make sure that when you do the drop, that you leave the bowling ball. Like, if there's a sports field on base, they put it out in the middle there.
Or, you know what? It's even easier with a bowling ball than it would be with an actual mascot, like an animal that could be identified by a mark or something. Just go out and buy another bowling ball. And on the day of the drop...
Drop the fake.
Mm-hmm. Give them the fake. Mm-hmm. It's like in the movies when you see the guys show up and they're supposed to have the briefcase full of money, and then they open it up and it's really just a briefcase full of playing cards.
You know, Rob's right, though. I just thought of that. With PT, they're going to know the guys they're subbing for.
But if
they would be subbing for even two squadrons, not just one.
Yeah, but this guy's right. If there's more than one squadron on this base, if there's two or three squadrons, you wouldn't necessarily know who you're filling in for.
But isn't there something where they could exchange, I mean, cartons of cigarettes or something like that? Is it, or beer?
Beer, we may ask for some beer, but...
I think beer would be safer.
We have to do these 3-mile runs all the time.
Right.
Yeah, so you really want these guys to have to do that. Well, hold on a second.
PT, of course, is physical training, right?
How would you get it? How would you get it by your instructor, though, your sergeant, whoever your boss is, though? How would you swing that by him to say, hey, we're not going to run 3 miles today.
The guys, other squadron is because we want a competition. What? How do you do it?
Well, none of us like to do exercises. So.
That's great.
Unless it's golf. Golf is different.
Sure is. And I understand that. We're with you on that. We don't like exercise either. But
I'm not sure you see a lot of the golf in basic training.
How would you get... How would you get your, and I know it's not a DI, a drill instructor, but how would you get your immediate supervisor to go along with this to say, instead of us running the 3 miles today, it's going to be the guys from the other group?
Yeah, how do you do that?
Well, in theory, one could have the squadron involved in it.
Right.
And they already know what's going on anyways.
Yeah, it sounds a little complicated. I really think you're going to need to get some sort of goods.
I think that you're going to have to run the 3 miles.
Yeah.
But if I was you, and I would take it up a step, I'd go for hard liquor.
Right.
I'd go for pornography.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be... What else you guys need?
A care package. Like, you do the drop. You leave your ball or the fake ball out in the middle of the field. And, you know, they come by with, like, a big... like grocery bag filled with all the stuff that you want, and they get their ball, they leave the bag, and then when the coast is clear, you go pick up your goodie bag with all the stuff in it. Beer, hard liquor, porno, smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He likes about it.
And then what's great about that is, but you got to pick, what you got to do is just make the exchange. They've got all the stuff in a bag, and you've got the bowling ball in a bag. Here's what you do. You don't give them the real ball the first time. The first time, you let them give you the bag that has whatever, if it's Jack Daniels or vodka, whatever you want. You want cartons of cigarettes.
Use gloves.
You want porno. What you do is you just say, okay, here's the ball in this bowling ball bag. There's the bag. There's the bag full of stuff. You exchange. You run.
And really, technically, you could put like a soccer ball in there. You know, just put it in a bag.
Wouldn't be heavy enough, though.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have to be. It'd be like out in the middle of a... Well, then they wouldn't drop it off.
When they pick it up...
Well, they're going to look at it anyway.
Yeah, but you're already taken off.
Yeah, but they're not going to be there. Don't you understand? If they don't have the regular ball, they're going to check it out anyway, and they'll take back their stuff.
No. I understand what you're saying, but here's how I see it playing out. You say... We're going to meet at midnight by the flagpole. These guys are there with a fake bowling ball, not the real one, another bowling ball in a bag. The guys from the other squadron have the bag full of porn and booze and
right.
cigarettes.
Oh, so you actually want an exchange.
So you exchange.
Ah, that's a dangerous
instead
of a drop.
Yeah, that's a dangerous
Yeah, you're setting
there.
A dangerous
Hey, you're in the Air Force, dude.
Either way, there's going to be running.
Yeah. Kiefer Sutherland would do that on 24.
Kiefer Sutherland, you're right. Kiefer Sutherland would have a drop at a place that you determine, and then but you could still go with the fake. I don't know the fake Paul Dunn. Why do you want to do a double cross?
Because then you can get double the stuff out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Get more stuff.
Because if you give them the fake ball, then the next time they contact you, they say that's where you got them on leverage. They're going to call you over there, and they're going
to. There's an easier way to do that without nearly the complexity. What you do is you have them say, "All right." Drop the grocery bag with all the goodies at position A. When we get that and we confirm that it's good stuff, we'll let you know where the ball is. As soon as you get the bag, you call them back and say, there's one more requirement. We need this. And you can even do it two or three times.
All right.
That's it. Yeah, there you go.
No fuss, no bust. And then when the time comes...
That's how you do it.
And you know, when the time comes, you get a speeding Jeep. And you throw the ball into their base, into their barracks.
Through a window,
and have them replace it.
There you go. Once again, we have solved. Look at this.
Brilliant.
That's it.
We did crappy on the Wunderlich test.
Right.
Look how we have helped the United States of America today.
We have always been good henchmen.
Thank you, my friend. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
God bless the USA.
Later.
Good luck.
See you later.
To protect and serve.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
And amuse.
Okay. Amuse. Well, you know, perhaps there is steam being blown off now.
Hello, yeah. Don and Mike show. Well, good for them. They deserve it.
Yeah.
All of our guys.
But you can tell by looking at Donald Rumsfeld, the giddy, giggly Donald Rumsfeld. That
drunk Donald Rumsfeld. Hello, Don and Mike. Hey, hello.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Howdy.
I first want to say, Mike, congratulations for going back to school. It's lovely to see senior citizens get back in the school environment. And if you're going to do it, you got to do it Rodney Dangerfield style.
I don't get this.
I don't either.
How is Mike going back to school?
Well, he mentioned that he would possibly be going back to school because he wanted to further his education because he had it done.
No,
hello.
He's going to.
Goodbye, ass.
What was
Mike
talking about?
I said that. I said you could go back to school.
Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for calling, ass.
Yeah.
Not you, ma'am.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Hi. We're doing great. Thank you.
Good. I just wanted to call. I've only been listening a couple of months, but you guys just, you crack me up. And you guys are great.
Thanks, honey.
Thank you.
You're a little late.
You're welcome.
A little late to the party, but thank you.
Nice.
I mean, I appreciate it. But
we really do appreciate
where
it.
Where have you been for the last 18 years?
Well, I've been down in North Carolina. We moved up to Delaware, and I never got it down there, I guess.
Right.
I never heard
all right.
It.
All right, you get a free pass, then. You get a free pass. We're not on in North Carolina.
When you say we, are we married?
Yes, we are.
Okay, Mike, I'm hanging up on her.
Thank you.
This hang up courtesy of Mike.
Thank you.
What are you wearing right now? I said, what are you wearing right now?
What am I wearing?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, it's nothing too interesting. I just came home from work, so I have on khaki capris and just a nice lilac top.
Really? That's that works for me. You know, you had me at khaki capris.
Did I?
Yeah.
Goodbye, honey. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how's it going?
Okay.
Sounds like a song lyric.
I'm a staff sergeant in the Air Force, and I just want to say that guy does not represent the rest of the Air Force.
Thank you. One more call and we got a break. Give away some stuff. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, you really earned your world's dumbest millionaire title today. Way to go.
Oh,
well, about
that Wunderlich score, that was great.
Okay. Wunderlich, not okay. Wunderlich.
It's Wunderlich.
Hey, I'm not the one who got 10 out of 17.
Yeah, but you're the one that didn't even know how to pronounce the test.
And I took it like a man, and I would say in my defense, if you would like to do
WDM.
That... Hold on a second. If you would like the opportunity to test personally with me, I'd be glad to sit on a telephone with you where... And I'm not using this as a cop-out, because I'm really not a very smart guy. I got good street smarts, and I've come a long way in life. But while everybody here is taking the test, I'm also, at the same time,
running the show.
Hey, and you know what? Let me explain the concept of the world's dumbest millionaire. The concept of the world's dumbest millionaire is okay when Don says it, you see. And as soon as it turns around and you start using it, you're not allowed. You understand?
So what I'd like to say to you is, and you don't comprehend this, that
Wonderlink,
you just think that the show runs itself while everyone else has the added benefit, and I'm not bitching about it, but it's a fact of being able to concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here looking at everybody's hold the shut up. Everybody's microphone levels, making sure that the music levels are set, making sure that the traffic is set to run in the next break, making sure the commercials are set up, doing all that while I'm taking the test. Now,
couldn't a monkey push those buttons?
He's not going to.
No talking.
He's not
going to
yield. There is no talking.
Then the only thing you and I have to do
is fight.
No. No, I'm past that.
Let me fight him.
The only thing that I'm past that.
I want to fight him. No, not
he wants
me.
To fight.
No, here's the deal.
I got
your phone number.
I want to fight him.
I got your caller ID number. You're from Iowa.
I want to fight you Iowan.
319. Tomorrow, we'll call you before the show. When I'm just sitting down at a desk, when I don't have the distraction of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 44 buttons and 18 phone lines in front of me, when I can offer it a little more of my actual concentration, I'll take an additional test with just me against you.
All right.
And then we'll see who did better.
Okay.
Okay, so you up for that challenge?
I'm up.
Okay.
All right.
What do you do?
Good luck to you.
May I ask you, sir?
Good day, sir.
May I ask?
No, don't hang up.
What do you do?
What do I do?
Answer a question with a question. Never. What do you do?
This is a guy who
I'm
called.
In sales.
This guy called to tell me I'm dumb.
What do you sell?
Pharmaceuticals.
Pharmaceutical sales. You call on doctors' offices?
Correct.
I know many people that do that.
Right, there's a lot of them out there.
There's a lot of them, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen,
I don't want to say a dime a dozen.
I got a phone number here. The first three numbers of your phone number are 553. So you'd be available at this number between, say, 1 and 2 o'clock tomorrow your time?
Yes, probably.
What?
I can't clear, yeah. Probably.
Would that be probably or probably?
If you're in pharmaceutical sales, you write your own ticket. You make your own schedule.
So right, but you also have lunch engagements that can go...
Lunch engagements? Ooh. Those tough, grueling lunch engagements.
Listen, here's the deal. I took a test on the radio and admitted that I was the dumbest. I laughed about it. You called to bust my balls. So, rather than use my usual tact of saying, oh, you're a moron, you're a douchebag, I'd like to fight you...
But he is, and I would!
I'm saying, let's you and I get together off the radio tomorrow... to take another test, similar questions, because there are 50, we only use 17, and we'll see which one of us did better when the playing field's a little more even, when I don't have to worry about running the show while I'm taking the test.
Or...
I might still do awful.
Hold on. Or I've got an option. If you don't want to go that route, if you've got a luncheon engagement and there's a conflict, I would... You're from Iowa?
Yes, yep. He is.
How much would you figure a one-way ticket from Iowa to Washington would be? I mean, like a budget buster, one that's really cheap. Could I get you out here for like $300,
$400? Oh, yeah.
All right, $300 or $400. You fly to Washington. I will pay for a limousine to pick you up at the airport. You come out here to 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, go to our garage, and Don runs you over with his car. How about that? Does that sound good to you?
Now listen,
that does sound like a good deal.
Yeah, it is.
So I'll have Lisa give you a call, and then tomorrow... between 1 and 2 your time...
the IRS will come to your house.
Let's set aside about 10 minutes. And I'd be glad to give the results on the radio of how you did and how I did.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Right.
And it'll be Don versus the IRoid.
And incidentally, keep in mind...
I win,
I know, but Mike was making another joke that was over your head, comparing you to a hemorrhoid.
Do you understand, my slow-witted friend?
But please remember that no matter how...
Yeah, it just wasn't funny.
Please remember that no matter how poorly...
Now you're a judge of comedy ass.
Remember, no matter how poorly I did on a test that was presented for your entertainment, the truth of the matter is, whether it be in personal life or if you'd like to keep it simply in the business arena, my friend, I'm Muhammad Ali, and you are, at best,
nothing.
There you go. You could not have said it better.
You got it.
I can recognize zeros behind a paycheck.
Recognize.
No problem.
When you, when you say the word recognize, please pronounce the G. It's not recognize. Recognize is not a word.
It's recognize. Even I know that. How do you spell that word?
R-E-C-O-G-N-I-Z-E.
Very good. So you can spell it. Perhaps you can go home and practice pronouncing it.
All right. I'll do that. 10 times.
10 times. All right. Let's hear it.
Go.
No, tonight. I'm going to
do it now.
Homework.
Spell it 10 times right now.
Maybe, you know, if you do it now, you won't even have to practice.
Nope, I'm not a puppet.
Oh, share with
can't
me. You're
it.
Not a puppet?
Spell puppet 10 times.
No, can't do it.
You see, as a matter of fact, you are a puppet. I think we're puppeteering you right now, as a matter of fact. You don't even know it. My slow-witted Iowa friend.
Spell Iowa 10 times.
Now he's being quiet because he's been thoroughly defeated.
Hello?
I'm defeated. What do you want me to do?
Spell terrible.
Now, at least, you know, hey, I will give him credit. He did admit that he's been defeated.
But what was the point of the call?
It's a bust ball. Yes,
because a long time ago, you went down to Clemson. You told everyone you were the world's dumbest millionaire. So I told you today you earned it. Because of your
but you didn't do it in a playful, fun way. You did
I
it in
did.
A malicious ball.
Right
no, you don't have a playful bone in your body. You're a malicious dullard. Come on, you know that. You're filled with anger.
And I'm sorry that you're a pharmaceutical sales guy in Iowa. I'm sorry that you don't have a life that you certainly must perceive as glamorous. I'll tell you, my life isn't glamorous, but I guarantee compared to yours it is.
I have met Iowans all over the country. I met the greatest group of guys from Iowa in Myrtle Beach one summer, and we played golf for 2 days, and I just met these guys out on the golf course. What happened to you?
I'm sorry.
What happened?
Listen, I'm sorry that God chose me for greatness, and God chose you to go out and sell pills to help people's cholesterol. I'm sorry. It's the luck of the draw. Maybe it's what you did in a previous life.
All right. Now, here's the big question.
Possibly right.
Here is the big question. Do we all feel better after this phone call?
Now, I am going to call you tomorrow between 1 and 2 to take the test with you. And we don't even have to talk about it on the radio.
Oh,
but I just want...
Don't do that to all of us.
Yeah.
Of course you have to talk about it on
know.
The radio.
Well, I just wanted to know. It's a personal thing between Rod and I that he's calling me stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, well, maybe I am, but I bet I'm smarter than you are.
Remember, it wasn't playful. It was malicious. Wasn't
all right.
It? Wasn't it?
No, it was. It was playful. But
how do you spell malicious?
I'm not doing the spelling game anymore.
Why? Because you can't spell malicious.
I'm done doing it.
You can't spell it.
I'll guess. M-A-L-I-C-I-O-U-S?
That is correct.
How do you spell
it? Good job. Way to go.
How do you spell malicious?
You just spelled it correctly.
No, you spell malicious by looking in the mirror every morning.
How do you spell mirror?
It's not even funny anymore, and it's not.
Oh, now that's the second time you said we're not funny. This is
no,
very
I said this
funny.
Isn't.
It's just like it was funny when I called you an Iroid.
See, now, you the original call that it says on the screen, Rod from Iowa, Don's test score was terrible.
See, you're not laughing with us. This isn't playful. You're malicious.
And unlike other radio shows, and I don't mind that we have this rap, that we're, you know, that the listener's not always right. You know, other radio shows have this rap where the listener is always right.
Right.
Well, listen, we're not always right, but neither are you guys.
Right.
Yeah, but I wasn't right that your score was not good, and you did call yourself world's dumbest millionaire.
But you didn't do it to be playful.
But you're taking both of those things out of context and combining them.
Oh.
And don't you think
and
really...
And really, very honestly, to be 100%, when I call myself the world's dumbest millionaire, I'm really not. In fact, as a matter of fact, if you want to have a real serious discussion...
Tell the truth about your income. It hasn't even approached a million in 15 years.
I'm a pretty bright guy. I dumb it down for the radio. If you'd like, I'll have a real discussion with you about just about anything you'd like to discuss.
I never said I was bright. I just was commenting on your school.
But you said that I wasn't, and I dumb it down for the radio. And I'm not making out the fact that I'm a Rhodes Scholar, but I dumb it down for the radio. But if you'd like, I'd be glad to have a serious discussion with you about any world event or any thought buster that you got.
How about the corn harvest? Planting season.
Not a farmer.
Isn't it planting season out there?
All right,
that's what I'm told. Yep.
We'll settle this tomorrow between 1 and 2.
That's what I'm told.
Can't you just fly out here and we can run over you with a car?
Nah, come on. I'll take this up with him off the air tomorrow.
Okay.
Please, everybody, note that I'm trying to change my behavior. I'm trying to evolve. Rather than simply call this guy a name like a douchebag or challenge him to fight.
Well, I think the fact that he's gotten this much airtime, you owe us all a bag of free samples.
All right, I'll send them out there.
I bet he doesn't sell the good stuff.
Do you sell the good stuff?
I don't sell any. Well, you can't really sell scheduled. Well,
right.
You can't sample them.
Who do you work for? Pfizer, Bayer, any of the biggies?
No.
No. Who do you work for? Flintstones. Flintstones vitamins.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Call you tomorrow.
I'm in pharmaceutical sales. I work for one a day.
Hello, Don. Hello.
I work for Kraft.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I have one quick question for you. I listened to you guys for years. I love your show.
Thanks.
But why would anybody want to call your show?
Lots of people.
You guys, you rake them. I mean, it's funny.
Hold on. That's really a generalization. We don't rake everybody. If you go back and look at the last calls that we took, as a matter of fact, the guy that called from the Air Force was on for 15 minutes.
We had a blast with him.
We had a great conversation with him.
Yeah, I know. They're all not bad. I'm just, most guys, or most, not women, most guys get, you're like Don Rickles. They just like, break them and then hang up on them.
Only if they deserve it.
Not most guys. And that's the difference between our show and other shows. And I'm sorry that, I'm going to try to say this without insulting you.
Okay. It's hard for you not to insult somebody, but go ahead.
I think a little bit of him wants to be insulted.
Your processing of our show is so limited that you can't see the big picture. That if we take 15 calls and we have nice conversations with 15 people, the one that's going to stick out in your mind that you're going to use as the generalization of our show will be the argument we had with the dumb guy. That'll be what you use as a point of reference.
I look at the two calls, the guy from the Air Force that called who was hysterically funny, and then the call with the guy that had the guitar and was doing the impression of the guy that sings the Super Bowl is gay. Those were two absolutely fantastic calls.
We applauded today.
And even that last guy from Iowa, hey, we had fun with him, dude.
Yeah, I mean, if he makes the mistake of taking away the fact that we were totally serious about that, that's his problem. And I don't think he will. I mean, as slow-witted as he was, I don't think he's going to take it that seriously. And we don't.
All right.
Can you imagine how we'd feel if we took all the calls that we get seriously? When you think of the S that's been said to Don and myself over the years,
yeah.
If we took everything that was said to heart, we would be institutionalized.
Guys like you forget that an awful lot, that we don't start it. I mean,
no, but by the time I get to you, it's later. It's like 4:30.
Listen,
you're in a bad mood, or you've already had some rotten calls. And
see again.
Wow.
Again, let me just say,
I don't know. Maybe I'm hitting it wrong.
It's not maybe. It's a fact. You're hitting it wrong.
Okay.
You're hitting it wrong.
We can get in bad moods much earlier than 4:30.
Okay.
Now, I love you guys.
I just wonder why anybody would. I called.
Why did you call then? If you wonder why anybody would call, why did you call?
No, I'm trying to maybe make you see that, I don't know.
Let me follow this. That if a really dumb person calls, I should be like every other phony idiot disc jockey and just say, hey, thanks for that call, and move on.
Yeah, if a dumb person calls, I understand that. But some of these people have. They're calling you legitimately, then all of a sudden, before you know it, they're...
Example?
Yeah, I don't have one.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to go.
I mean, no, normally when we get into it with a caller, it's a ball buster caller, a guy that's calling to bust our balls, and we have fun punching back, and that makes for interesting radio.
Yeah, if they bust your balls, that's...
But I mean, to say that we are, you know, when you get to us by 4:30 every day, we're in a bad mood. We can be in bad moods at 3 o'clock. We can be in fantastic moods at 6 o'clock. It's reality. I mean, it's whatever the direction is that we're going in. And really, we can be screaming at a guy, and 5 minutes later, we're laughing our asses off.
The point is that what we try to do on the radio really is real radio. And I'm sorry that you can't deal with it, that you'd rather, I'm gathering from your phone call, you'd rather have the homogenized BS version where someone calls and says something incredibly stupid or makes an awful joke or tries to be funny, and the disc jockey, you know, because he's trying to be nice, says, hey, that's great. Thanks for listening.
I'll tell you
what happens to those shows. They don't get any ratings.
If I was listening to this show, this is the part I'd want to listen to. The part where the two guys were taking phone calls. And Don and I would both tell you that really, after all these years, it is still our favorite part of doing the show. And it is what separates this show from a lot of other shows.
Yeah.
The interaction, as tough as it might be sometimes.
Like with guys like you.
It's addictive. We love it. That's the part of the show that just makes us alive. I mean, it is fantastic.
I understand now.
So why would anyone call the show?
Do you regret calling?
Well, no, I'm glad you had a chance to.
You stupid.
You moron.
See, I don't want to hang up.
Yeah, that's the problem. One of the real, this is advice for all callers, if you really feel like it's getting too hot, like you can't stand the temperature.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, pull the trigger.
Bail out.
Bail.
Right. Get eject.
Okay.
Like maybe right now.
Go. Hang up.
But
thank you. That's what we're all about. That's what we're all about.
I enjoyed that.
Me too. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I flopped the nut straight.
Motherfucker! You fool your nut! Motherfucker! That is it!
That's it. What the f*** are you talking about? That's it. Take it out, eh?
Yes! No more! No! Not tonight! This son of a bitch all night, he chick. He trapped me.
Well, are you feeling satisfied now, Teddy? Because I can go on busting you up all night.
Yes.
He beats me. Straight up. Pay that man his money.
The Don and Mike Show.
For you guys.
They're extra smart because they've got extra brain juice. Don and Mike.
My wonderful Cuddy honey.
Yep.
Went to one of those stores where they sell like bar stools.
Right.
And she got me the blackjack thing.
You said that yesterday.
But I was not able to comment on it until I saw it. I'm telling you, when I got home last night.
Is it a real one?
Yeah.
Cool.
It fits right on top of the poker table.
There you go.
It's got the green velvet. Mm-hmm. It's got the whole thing. Dealer must hit on 16, must hold on 17.
Very, very
cool. It's got all of the spots. It's got the shoe. Mm-hmm. Came with four decks of cards. So
you can actually hire dealers.
I'd rather be the dealer. I'd rather use my money is the house money.
Right.
So next time, maybe one night next week.
Right.
You guys come over, bring your $1 bills, and let's play some blackjack.
And you'd be the dealer?
Yeah. Meaning that it'd be my money that I'm fronting.
This is true.
That if you guys win, you win my money.
Right.
So you just play as much as you like.
I want to make sure you have plenty of money in the bank, though, for that night. So I'm only going to come over on a fight night.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
You like Ocean's 11. I get it.
I've been getting into it lately. I've been watching. You know, it's all over cable, so I've been watching it.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Howdy. We're doing great.
That's great. I was just going to make a comment about that douchebag you got after.
Which one?
The one that called you. You are not a dumb guy, Don. If anybody can make it,
yes,
I can make
I
something of myself.
Yes, I am. Thank you. I'm inspiration out there to all you borderline retards out there.
I wasn't really.
Thank you.
I wasn't really fond of
idiots.
That. What?
An idiot.
Are you Wanda Sykes?
No.
You sound a lot like Wanda Sykes.
I love Wanda Sykes.
So do Wanda Sykes.
I'm going to go see her.
You don't know? You're a black woman and you don't know who Wanda Sykes is?
I don't know who the hell anybody is nowadays.
Wanda Sykes kicks ass.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, she got a show that's on after Bernie Mac. You should watch it. It's great.
And she got her start really with Chris Rock.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, right.
Well, maybe I should go up there and make some money.
There you go.
Honey, it's not funny to be broke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's for sure.
And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. But you made something of yourself. So you are the smartest guy in the world. Don't worry about
that. Thank you, baby.
You're an inspiration.
Thank you for the love.
Mike, you got his balls. We got to get him up here. Let me beat the hell out of him.
Let that guy go. Thank you, honey.
I'm just a long-time listener.
God bless you.
You know, and I'm glad you guys are down here.
Thank you.
Thank you, honey.
I need to laugh.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Now, listen, I got to hang up on you there, Wanda. Or was it Gladys?
It might have been Gladys.
Or was it Gladys?
Get out of that bed and wash your face and hands.
I hope you've been listening to the whole show today, because we have a chance now. We went so long with those other guys that if we don't start watching the time here, we're not going to have time at the end of the show for Buzz's news and comment, which is the goal now, to make sure that Buzz gets his time.
Well, he's been demanding.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He pushes me around. These bruises are an indication that Buzz has not been happy with the fact that in previous months, we've not gotten to news and comment on time.
Well, he never knows which side of your body to hit because he has trouble making choices.
If Buzz didn't love you, he wouldn't hit you.
That's Where's right. that commercial?
Those bruises have helped you, change things.
We just played a commercial with Buzz.
Right.
I was telling Robbie and Mike, we got to isolate the beginning because if there's anything that has ever been said by Buzz that's more truthful.
Based on the truth.
Sure. I defy you to find it. Listen, yes. from a commercial Buzz has recently cut.
I'm not good at making choices, so you'll certainly get no help from me. That's it.
That's the truth. So listen, we have tickets right now. If you want to win them before you can buy them, to see Aerosmith and Kiss.
Ooh.
I think you should be the other. Well,
Buzz, who would you go see if you had a choice between Aerosmith and Kiss? I'm going to have to think about that.
I guess Aerosmith should get first billing, but Kiss should play first and let Aerosmith be the second act.
He might have trouble making choices, but he gets the joke.
Aerosmith and Kiss, win them before you can buy them. Saturday, August 9th, Nissan Pavilion. Tickets go on sale Saturday at noon. Ticketmaster outlets at NissanPavilion.com. Be the 100th caller right now at 877-365-3636. But you must answer a question about something that was said in the first 10 or 15 minutes of the show.
All right.
And I don't think it's anything tough like when we were talking about our weight, like how much do we weigh or stuff like that. It's a very easy question, Mike. This is that's what the question's about.
Think very good.
That should be easy.
Good.
Caller 100 right now.
Oh, it should be harder than that.
Oh, shut up. and you win the Aerosmith Kiss tickets. Win them before you can buy them.
Yeah.
Radio. It's a great business to be in. As we speak right now, our brain trust up in New York getting reamed by Oz.
Yeah, they're in the middle of that right now. I can't wait to hear about the results of that.
I got an article about radio that I want to share with you. Do you think there's a chance Alan would pick up his cell phone right now in the middle of the meeting with Mel Karmazin, the president of Infinity Broadcasting?
That'd be funny. I bet he has it turned off. Yeah, let's see.
Yeah.
Only one way to find out.
That's right.
we got a fire down here.
We did that.
The number you have dialed.
Hold on.
That's when he accidentally has it on.
Wow.
Loud.
Rings. Like Tim McWilliams did in the meeting that one day.
Tim McWilliams had a phone that said, "You have an incoming."
I don't know who I called.
Wanda?
I don't know.
Hold on a second.
What happened?
What happened?
What happened? I don't think so.
Hard to believe, but I think I may have forgotten Alan's phone number.
Well, that's understandable. It's not calling him enough.
Let me go to the Palm Pilot. Hold on. Address is Line Wand. Line Wand. Okay. Oh, I see what I was doing.
Did you look under acting?
Got it.
Here we go.
I dialed a 3 instead of a 5.
Ah. Pick up the phone. You hear this?
We should get his voicemail right away. Because if you were listening yesterday, you heard they were terrified of the fact that they had to go to New York for corporate meetings today.
I just like listening to this music.
Well, it's our radio music. Radio is an exciting... We're going somewhere with this.
Radio is red hot.
We're going to get into the underbelly of radio today.
And it's taking over the United States.
Well, how can we get 130?
Great stars like Jack Benny, Bob Hope, Fred Waring, and the Pennsylvanians. Radio. Tune in today. The Cartoon Network.
Hey, Charlie, would you come in? Maybe I got the wrong number on my...
Charlie Brown here scores perfect score on the Wonder Lick test.
On my phone pilot here.
Aerosmith.
All right, let me try...
Buzz chose.
Oh, thanks, Buzz.
Really? We had a moment there, and Buzz decided that he had finally decided who he would go see.
Michael Hughes. Let's try him. I got his number.
Now, that's scary, because we don't know about him. He might pick it up. Oh, we're in trouble.
I bet we get voicemail.
Yeah.
Their meeting's from 4:30 to 6:30. It'll show up on his caller ID as the station calling.
Ah, good.
Oh, I had the wrong number for Ellen and my Palm Pilot. Thank you very much.
How did that happen?
Huh?
Hi, this is Michael Hughes. Yep. Sorry I missed your call. Please leave your name and number. And when...
All right, hold on. Let me
call on Alan now.
Yep. Although this appears to be the number I called before, so maybe he just gave the phone number. Maybe he gave his phone to Betsy, his wife. Maybe he just said, I don't
know. All these cell phones are like on a desk piled up.
Hello?
Hello?
Alan?
Yes.
Hey, it's Don and Mike. You're on the air.
Yeah.
We thought
we're surprised you answered.
We thought you'd be in the middle of your meeting right now.
No, I'm actually done.
You're done with the meeting?
Wow.
All done.
I thought it was supposed to start at 4:30.
Actually, we got summoned up earlier. We had to take, instead of a noon, we had to take an 11 o'clock train for a 3 o'clock meeting.
So how long was your meeting with Oz?
Probably a half hour.
Wow, that's kind of short.
Well, they broke it up. My part was probably a half hour.
Oh, so it was each station individually?
Yes.
And how did it go?
Great.
Really?
Did you...
I mean, you know.
Did you get fired today?
No.
Good.
Did anybody get fired today?
Absolutely not.
Good. Oh, terrific. So, does everybody feel good about things?
Well, are you happy that I didn't get fired today?
Yeah, of course. We don't want any other dummy coming in.
I could.
I mean, you're the dummy we want to have the job.
Good. Well, you got this dummy for a while.
Oh, that's good. So, hey, you sound... He can't fake it. He sounds pumped.
Hey, Alan.
You know what? Yes.
You know, I'm not going to say it on the air, but you know that other stuff we were talking about? Remember up in the office with Charlie?
You know what? We talked about so many things. Can you be a little vaguer? Or more vague?
A philosophy.
Philosophy, yes.
Was that discussed?
Oh, sure. Well, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Well, just a minute.
I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Just yes or no? Good or bad?
I think it's all good.
All good.
All right.
I think he's much more positive than if he had been called in and said, you know.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. How many times did Mel tell you suck? Because he tells everybody they suck.
You know what? Today, none. But, you know, that's a record. To tell you the truth, I told him once I sucked, so I took the steam away from him.
Ah, good move. Ripped off the mask.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, Alan.
Acting General Manager Alan Linewand.
When are they ever going to take that off your title?
That was discussed, too. I'll talk to you about it.
Oh.
So, overall, how would you grade your experience today being called up to the corporate offices?
Fine.
Give it a letter grade.
I would say it was a solid B to B plus.
Wow.
B to B plus.
You're never going to get an A.
Yeah. You're never going to get... Wow.
True.
All right.
How about the guys from ARW?
Fine.
How about the guys from HFS?
I wasn't in their meeting.
that speaks volumes.
Right.
See?
Okay.
All right.
All right, I got you.
Thanks. Hey, guys, I appreciate you calling.
We really thought
you coming back. Are you coming back tonight, or are you going to have a nice evening in New York?
No, actually, we're all going to dinner now.
Are you going to get plowed?
Yeah, get drunk.
Yeah, you know what? We're on Times Square, in the heart of Times Square.
So you're going to get hammered.
Yeah, we might have a good time tonight.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah, you must have had a good meeting.
But sounds like it won't be like your house, though, I promise.
Oh, Alan got really drunk at my house. Really, really drunk. Alan, here's a tip from us. We, as you know, used to broadcast in New York. Go to TGI Fridays and get a table for 12.
That's the best place in Times Square. It's not touristy at all.
Actually, we're at the Bluefin.
The Bluefin.
The Bluefin. Yeah, very cool place.
Wow. Very good. Something must have happened good to you today. Did our names come up in the meeting with Mel?
Absolutely.
Oh.
What did Mr. Carmazan have to say about us? Anything directly?
I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's all good.
Okay. Well, we'll take that.
Great.
All right, very good.
Did Illy Fay come up?
Did who?
I'm speaking in Pig Latin.
Illy Fay.
Illy Fay.
You know what? In some kind of, shotgun way, I didn't quite understand what he said, but... that something of Philly came out, yes. I wasn't quite sure. It was kind of a drive-by.
Was that good or bad? Generally, drive-bys aren't good. That's where people get shot.
Yeah, I think it was good. I think it was all good.
Is Julie there? May we speak to another person in your party?
Hold on a second.
Oh, good.
I got everybody here.
Get a second person's opinion.
Good, good.
Julie? Hold on. Joe?
You're getting real radio now. Understand
they sound,
that
he yeah. sounds happy.
Is this good live radio?
Either that, or he
he's just like goofy.
He got some
mind.
Good street drugs or something.
A more about to eat dinner.
Okay.
All right.
Now, is he prepping her and telling her?
Tell them more
all
about
right, so,
dinner.
So you're done with me?
Yeah. Thanks, Al.
Yes.
Bye, man.
Who was that?
That was Rob. And I know you don't speak to Rob, but we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, guys.
See, everybody knows that these guys had a very important meeting today.
It really sounds like it might have gone well for
them.
I'm awfully sorry, Rob.
Hey, Julie?
Yes?
Now, listen, I understand you're under a lot of pressure that Alan's standing right by you, and he probably wants to work you the way that Waylon Flowers used to work Madam.
Mm-hmm.
But without being his ventriloquist dummy, can you just give us yes or no answers?
Okay.
Did you guys get Did you guys get reamed out by Mel?
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
That's an easy question.
Okay. Was it a positive experience?
Yes.
The overall meeting?
Yes.
Yes, it was. Uh-huh. Did our names come up?
Yes.
Were they spoken of in a negative light?
No.
It was positive?
Yes.
Are you going to party your ass off tonight?
Yes. After we get the sticks out of... Well, you know where they are.
Okay. All right, Julie, thanks.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye-bye. There you go. No one could be more eager to get off the phone.
Wow.
Well, we'll get the real story tomorrow, but they can't fake the giddiness.
True.
Well, that's relief, too. Remember that. That's a sense of relief of just surviving.
Yeah, a lot of them thought they were going up there to get fired today.
Right.
It's
like getting off with an amputation.
Hello.
All right. Better now.
Don Mike.
I am caller 100.
Yes, and I hope... now, listen, have you been listening to the whole show today?
Man, I've been trying. I think I got on about 10 after 4.
Then
got out of work.
Not qualified.
Negative. You've not been listening long enough.
I'm sorry about that, man. Okay.
It's all right,
man. That's an hour, man.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Have you been listening?
I call 100.
Have you been listening to the whole show?
99%.
Well, he'll prove that if he answers the question.
We were talking about a market that the show's been cleared in. What market will our show be heard in starting Thursday? And we made a big deal about it.
Okay. I would say Los Angeles.
Cheater. Me first.
Others! Yeah. Others! Somebody please was listening to the whole show. Hello?
Yes.
Don and Mike, what's your name?
Wayne.
Have you really been listening to the whole show?
Yes, sir.
What market do we start broadcasting to on Thursday?
Oh, my God. Hey, I heard y'all, too. I forgot them.
Yeah.
Well, I can see where people would forget.
Well, someone out there. I'll take one more call.
Yeah. Now you're giving people, the advantage now.
Hello?
Hello?
What's the answer?
Salt Lake City.
Right.
Yeah. Very good.
There you go.
Winner, right there. You're a radio winner. What's your name?
Matt.
Matt, where are you from?
Fairfax.
Matt,
Tickets, one of them before you can buy them, see Aerosmith and Kiss.
Super.
Saturday, August 9, Nissan Pavilion. Tickets go on sale Saturday at noon at all Ticketmaster outlets and NissanPavilion.com. Now, you just heard a little behind... Thanks for listening, my friend.
Hey, thank you.
You just heard a behind-the-scenes glimpse of how tight sphincters can be in the radio business. Mm-hmm. When we come back from the break, we're going to go to the pages of Radio and Records, the radio industry's Bible.
Always interesting.
And in case you don't know, we're in our April, May, June's rating sweep now, the most important rating sweep of the year.
Right.
And... right here is a column called A Program Director's 30 Wonderful Techniques to Help Air Talent. Get me a notebook! So we'll learn as we earn as we learn.
Yes.
When we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
In California, you're on the air. What do you think?
Boy, that guy's comments were a little out of line. I believe, you know, they don't know what their kids are doing on the computers nowadays. Are you guys in New York?
Yes, we are.
The big question about that is, why aren't Don and Mike on live in New York? I don't understand that. Do you know anything about that?
Well, that's an interesting point.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
What do you think? Because of chit-chat? A-hole.
The writing is delicious. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, tomorrow we'll have more of these Aerosmith and Kiss tickets to give away. Tomorrow, maybe we'll get to Craig Wilson if he's... what's the word I'm looking for?
Gay enough.
Gay as in gay and happy and carefree.
Of course.
You know, like back in the 1950s,
yeah,
when you used to be able to pull a boner.
What are you doing, Smith? There's something gay, no doubt.
Also, at some point, I want to do a Baby Molly.
Oh, yeah.
With Catherine Zeta-Jones, baby, with Michael Douglas.
Very good.
We're not going to get to it today, but I was skimming through this book. We're going to have these guys on the show next week. The Complete A-Hole's Guide to Handling Chicks. And
Mike's even got an A-Hole title.
The parts that I've highlighted, we'll start reading this tomorrow before these guys get on the show.
Right.
50 Tips to Being a Better A-Hole.
Okay.
Then you have the ones that I thought you and I would find interesting.
Okay.
Men aged 28 to 35,
mm-hmm,
how to deal with women, marriage, and then divorce and death.
Mm. Oh, very good.
So all of that tomorrow.
And, of course, after the interview is over, you will be transferring that copy over to me.
Oh, yeah, it's yours.
Thank you.
Absolutely, it's yours.
For sure.
And let me see, we got Ask Joe to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We want to do It's All Relative. I want to bring back Tube the Teller.
Right.
I mean, we got so much stuff that we haven't done. We want to play Where Are You Listening?
Very good.
We'll be live in Philly on Thursday playing the match game. Radio is an effed up business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you how effed up it is. For instance, any of you guys out there with a computer can go to rronline.com.
Mm-hmm.
That is the website for Radio and Records, which is this generation's Billboard magazine.
Right. It is really the disc jockey's friend. It's what all the DJs read.
Mm-hmm.
It's filled with some interesting stuff. It's filled with some not so interesting stuff.
One of the things on there today, and this is something DJs use as show prep, is today, let me move my microphone down so I can read this to you. Today is National Volunteer Day. So they supply you with the top five songs that you should play on your show to get into National Volunteer Day.
Really?
Number five, with a little help from my friends by the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, I Ain't Going Nowhere by Martina McBride.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Me either. Mm-hmm. Number three, Human Kindness by Neil Finn.
Fine.
Might be. Number two, Hello in There by John Prine.
The country guy?
I don't know. And number one is Emotional Rescue by the Stones.
Yeah, so keep in mind.
How about this? Just a tip.
Think. Well, there are DJs that read that every day and go, well, this must be what we're doing.
Hey, it's National Volunteer Day. I'm going to play this song for you right now by John Prine.
This is what we must do on the show.
They also have, because radio is such an effed up business, these articles that they print in the actual magazine, not the online version, but the actual magazine that I subscribe to. And here's one that I pulled out, heading into the spring writing sweep. A program director's 30 wonderful techniques to help air talent.
Oh, boy. Like, before you start, can I just tell you, whenever you get in a number, when you get an even number, that means forced. That means that this thing was forced to come up with 30.
Now, I'll tell you that the guy who is giving these tips is named R.J. Curtis.
R.J. right there. Hey, there's only one R.J.
And that's your butler, R.J. Diaz.
Raymond Diaz. Hello, Raymond.
He's the program director of KZLA in Los Angeles. And to those of you, you might think, oh, Los Angeles, wow. Well, the point is, he's the program director of a format-unique radio station.
Okay.
Meaning, there's only one country radio station in Los Angeles. And while there's not a large following for country music,
if you're the only game in town and you're in a big city, that's kind of like mayor for life.
Yeah. Well, the last time I checked, they clock in at 32nd place in the ratings.
Wow, well, that necessarily doesn't mean mayor for life, then.
So,
morning, mayor.
It seems to me that this is not necessarily the guy you would look to.
This is 32nd place programming rating.
Yeah. At the recent country music seminar, veteran programmers were invited to submit promotional ideas, especially ideas that don't involve a substantial budget. KZLA Operations Manager Program Director R.J. Curtis took this interesting approach of offering recommendations to program directors, regardless of format, on how to get the most from their disc jockeys.
I like it already.
Yeah. Regardless of your format, you will find these to be useful methods of improving creativity, boosting morale, and motivating to achieve excellence.
Pens out, everybody.
Ready.
Now, I've been on the other side of this, especially when I was in music radio. The best program director you could have is a guy like Scott Shannon, who just said to me and all the other disc jockeys, go in, show me what you got. The guy never busted balls.
Yeah, hey, that's okay on a major market level.
Hello, this is Scott Shannon.
And I know in a small market, you got to help guys, and they got to learn the ropes.
Thank you, Don.
But there's an in-between ground. And guys like this, well, let me just go through some of these.
I can't wait to hear these.
Number one, give your disc jockeys a homework assignment.
All right.
Already.
Ask them to tape competing shows.
Oh, Jesus.
Evaluate them.
Give me a gun.
And report on their strengths and weaknesses.
Oh, my God!
Disc jockeys rarely hear their competition, so this is a very healthy exercise.
That's what it is.
Oh,
it's an exercise.
God!
Now, you might
think, right out of the box, it's like the worst idea in the world.
Now, you might think that I know a lot of you do think I'm full of myself, but frankly, on the times that Mike and I take vacation, when I get a chance to listen to radio, and I make a point of not listening to our show.
Right.
I listen to the other stations. I get mad because our ratings aren't higher.
What's wrong with people?
I listen to the other shows and I go like, who would listen to this crap?
Exactly.
How come we don't have like a 25 share?
Yeah, but you listen when you're, you know, taking a little break once in a while.
Here's your homework assignment. Tape the competition. All right, number two. Program directors, spend a morning, afternoon, or evening in the studio while your disc jockeys are on the air.
Oh, man. Boy, this is really, this is number two of the
31.
Like, worst idea ever.
It'll give you a feel for what's happening in the control room behind the scenes and a better understanding of how the show's doing.
It'll give you a feel for my fist on your face.
Listen, there's nothing that would drive a disc jockey more nuts and make them feel more uncomfortable. It's one thing if you got a guy like when I was talking about Tom Bigby, a guy that would call you in between every break.
Right.
You could deal with that because you can hang the phone up. And
even that's bad.
But even with that, you hang the phone up and you're done with it.
Right.
Can you imagine doing a show where you turn around And there's the program director.
Hi.
Sitting right behind you.
Do you know in 19 years how many people we've had just come into this studio and observe?
How many?
I mean, really, we had a guy, a writer, come in and do it a while back. It was the first time in years. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Number three. This would also piss me off. Pull research on your station from Scarborough or Media Audit. These are research companies. And show it to the disc jockeys. Thank you. Ask someone from Arbitron, that's the ratings company, to come and do a presentation. Then there's 3A. Conduct listener advisory boards. These are many focus groups. And even though the respondents will know it's your station, you get great feedback from heavy users. Now, I've been on the other side of this when the last time I was involved in this, when I worked in Chicago, they had a focus group, and they had me on the other side of the two-way glass. And here's how it worked.
One-way glass.
Yeah, well, it was
whatever. Yeah.
You know what I mean.
The mirror.
I can see them, but they can't see me.
Right.
So they would say, how many of you listen to the radio in the morning?
Right.
Raise hands. How many of you listen to Don Geronimo on B96? Please, they're like, out of 25 people, about 13 raise their hands.
Mm-hmm.
They go, okay, we're just going to talk to you people. First question out of the mouth. What don't you like about Don's show?
Oh, God.
So right away they go to the negative. You know, they don't,
right.
You know, rather than look at this and say, you've got 13 out of 25 to listen.
Right.
And same thing here with the focus group, where you're going to get people who have already admitted they listen to the station. So why focus on the negative? And I'm positive they would. Number five. Once a month, stage your shows in front of a studio audience for listener interaction. Number six, read and give your disc jockeys the book Be Quick But Don't Hurry by John Wooden. All of Wooden's beliefs apply to what you and your staff do every day.
Is this the UCLA basketball coach they're talking about?
But what he wants is the Be Quick But Don't Hurry, because it's the whole thing. You can only talk for 10 seconds,
right,
but make it sound like you're talking longer.
Oh, God.
if you have a regular weekly meeting where everybody sits in the same place, start it 1 week by asking everybody to point to someone else and trade seats.
This guy's got a lot of time on his hands.
Wow.
Be sure that you do it, too, because changing places changes the dynamic of the meeting.
Oh, that's like right out of a textbook.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
Come on.
Create a monthly award just for the disc jockeys.
Employee of the month.
Mine is called the You Bowled Me Over Award.
Oh, my God. This guy. Hi, how are you? God, I'd like to meet him.
It's a 1960s vintage bowling trophy I found.
I found, yeah. When he was antiquing on the weekend. Pump.
It's campy.
There's the word.
But my jocks want to win them.
Oh, my God. Or that's what they're telling you.
Hold on. We got a break. I'll come back and get to more of these 30 wonderful tips.
God, hey, you got to send that guy to that man's house in Iowa.
This business is so effed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of you listening got to be thinking, you hear the same stuff in whatever it is that you're doing.
Right.
But the problem in this case, and maybe it's unique to radio, I don't know, I've never worked in another business. The problem is you have these douchebags that are getting this stuff printed in a national magazine that's read by...
And that's encouraging them.
By 50,000 people a week.
And some of them will believe it.
And I'd like to say to all the guys that work at the station where this guy's the operations manager, you know, God, good luck to you, really.
We're sorry.
You know, this segment is going so well, I think you might get the trophy from Alan this month.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the basement of the Science Building. Great.
The Don and Mike Show. God damn it. The Don and and Mike Show.
You right there? That's what they got to warn the people in Salt Lake City about.
Right. That particular drop.
They got to...
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
You got to tell them that. It's not going to be found in the 30 wonderful rules about the Don and Mike Show.
Ooh. Hey, Don?
Yeah, Mike.
Hi, I'm your new program director.
Let's recap some of the rules that we've heard thus far.
Well, I'd just like to go over a few things with you, if you don't mind.
RJ Curtis, go ahead.
Don, if you don't mind, what I'd like to do, on your next show, I'd like to sit in with you for the entire 4 hours and just observe you doing the show. Is that all right?
Sure.
Hey, listen, we've got the weekly meeting scheduled tomorrow, and I wanted to throw this idea out at you when you come in for the weekly meeting.
Yeah.
You know how we always sit in the same spot around the table?
Yeah.
As I'm going over your air checks with you and the other disc jockeys and our promotions director?
Yeah.
I think tomorrow what I'm going to do... just have everybody switch seats and move to a different part of the room so it'll be totally different.
That's nutty.
All right. And I've got some great news for you, Don.
What's that?
You know, you've been doing such a fabulous job listening to every stupid thing I tell you that I'm going to give you my trophy. It's the I'm Bowled Over trophy. It's an old bowling trophy that I got with my wife when I was out antiquing in Los Angeles.
What about our listener advisory board?
We're going to gather the listeners around and pick their brains and find out the great ideas they have for your show. All negative, mind you, but don't worry. I've got you in my gun sights, mister. You are tops in my book.
Here we go. Back to the list.
Jesus.
Wow.
Theme up the programming
department.
Theme up?
Yes. Hmm. Theme up is in quotation marks.
Okay.
To fit a current promotion or contest. Let's say you're giving away trips to Hawaii. Make everyone wear a Hawaiian shirt when they come to work.
Oh, my God. It's radio.
It creates a vibe everybody can see and feel every day.
Exactly.
Now, here's a really relevant question. And I mean, I'm not busting balls. Good. Mike.
Yeah, Don.
Yeah, go ahead. Ask your question.
Yeah, hey, Don, is this all rehashed stuff from when you were, from when the old guys were doing radio?
No. Sir, this is from Radio and Records Magazine. April 11th, 2003.
Wow.
Would guys like Hogmore the Morning Mayor, would he pay attention to that kind of article?
No. No, but okay. there are legions of guys. Yeah. Like, he wouldn't. Let's not even go down that road today.
I know we're running out of time, Don. Hey, can I just say, though, that is a fine top you're wearing.
Promise. Here's one that's dumb that I know Mike and I have ragged on before. Submit your disc jockeys for awards.
Uh-oh.
It sounds simple, but you can't get nominated unless you submit yourself.
Yeah, we don't work in a business where, you know, the public is involved or there are any associations involved with listening and selecting people, nominating people. You have to submit your own stuff, and that to me just makes it complete BS.
We've always lived and died with the mantra that, you know, our award show are the ratings every month. That's Arbitron comes out.
There was one publication that no longer exists where they used to just nominate people. Mm-hmm. And they'd nominate people based on the radio industry and the record industry. And that one we won. And we thought it was cool that we won it. The other ones, the one they have here in Washington, D.C., you have to submit a tape.
You're talking about the Bobby Poe, and this was back in the day, 20 years ago. What Bobby Poe would do is he would send out a letter to everybody in radio, and he would write, who do you think the best disc jockeys are right now? And then based on the responses from disc jockeys, he would present you with the five finalists.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, and Mike and I were, and I still have my Bobby Poe award on the wall.
So do I.
Because it means a lot to me. Yeah. And I won one when I worked by myself at WPGC. The thing about that is, we didn't send a tape in to say, hey, how about nominating us for Radio Show of the Year?
The other one that means something, and we've won it, and it's not really winning it, but it's in the magazine, and that's here in Washington, D.C. Washingtonian Magazine has every year the best and worst, and for quite a few years, we've been in there, and we always value that. I know that certain disc jockeys have stacked the deck. At least that's what we've heard.
Greaseman worked at DC 101.
Yeah, Greaseman used to do it.
We got reports that there'd be people from DC 101 out at a newsstand buying at a time 50 to 75 copies of Washingtonian magazine
right.
because it had the ballot in it
right.
to vote for your favorite morning disc jockey.
Right.
Hold on, here we go. I'm going to skip around now because we're running late on time as we go through the PD's 30 wonderful techniques to help DJs circulate a morning and afternoon show day sheet so the rest of the staff knows the topics and bits from that day's show. Number 16. This is one that maybe Tim Sabian wants to listen to. When a trend, ratings trend, or ratings book comes out, good or bad, get a note out on it to the station staff before the close of business that day. Control your spin. Always be positive.
Well.
Okay, that's one out of 31 that we would.
That is a good one.
But then.
So that keeps morale up.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Here's another dumb one. Conduct a weekly meeting with your disc jockeys to discuss current pop culture. Invite several different people each week, like the receptionist, staffers who don't necessarily know everything about the station, and think different than the usual brain trust.
Mm-hmm.
Programming staff meeting idea. Have staffers come in with the top reasons the station they grew up listening to was a great radio station. Give each person on your morning or afternoon show a specific, consistent TV homework assignment. For instance, one person watches E.T., another person watches Survivor, and another watches sports. That way, the responsibility for TV is equally distributed and your show has the pop culture world covered.
God. Wow. Make it more complicated than it should be. Or better yet, buy everyone on the staff at TiVo.
Here's one that drives me nuts. Air check meetings.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was included in the meetings.
But I'll be honest with you.
This is where, you know, the program director calls a disc jockey in, and you listen to a tape of your show without the music.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just all we work, you're talking. Here's his spin, though. Make the disc jockey think he's controlling the meeting.
Oh, smart.
But you should be prepared. I was talking to the program directors. You want the personality to know that you listen to their show. And you want them to think you know everything about it. Let them turn on and off the tape when they want to.
Ooh, clever.
Now, that's really giving the disc jockey all the leeway in the world.
Hey, you know how I'd handle that one? I'd never turn it on.
Now, here's one. This reeks of PD. Show up at as many station events as possible incognito.
Mustache.
And check out how your jocks are representing your station on the street.
I believe I saw you grab a breast the other night.
This is killer. If you can, I mean killer in a bad way.
Yeah.
If you can afford it, hire an outside morning show coach for one or two sessions per month. It's different from your coaching, and it'll help you be a better coach, too.
Woohoo.
That's great. That's what you need. Just some other dumbass who flies in from out of town
right.
to tell you the same stuff the other dumbass is telling.
Thanks so much. I appreciate all the support.
Let me see.
Let's play musical chairs again.
Approach your morning show, or if you have a personality afternoon show, and they're making sure they put that in now because afternoon's now becoming important.
Thank you.
Approach your morning show or personality afternoon show like a sitcom. Decide in advance, before you go on the air, what the plot is, and define each of the characters.
Oh, God. You do that.
Map out a profile for each player, so they know how to stay in character. Work with your jocks on how to conduct interviews. Most are not very good at it. That's funny. Learn to delegate.
Uh-huh.
But don't really delegate.
Yes, of course, because then you wouldn't be an anal-retentive chef.
Give the elbow grease tasks to one of your assistants. Spend your valuable time thinking about your creative ideas and big picture products.
God.
Can you imagine what a douche this guy would be to work for?
Is there a picture of him?
Make sure, yeah. There he is.
Hi there.
He looks like he'd be on The Bachelor.
Right.
Make sure your radio station's disc jockeys are respectful of people's time.
Yes.
Radio is something people use when they're doing other things. Listeners,
I'm so glad this time we have the time.
Listeners are busy. More and more time, they have other options, and radio is in danger of becoming a utility. Let me see.
This is like a term paper.
Hold on a second. I know we got to go to Buzz. Let me just find. There was one in here that just absolutely. Ah, okay. Number 20. Once a month, send your morning man to a women's only meeting. Stand in the back. Take notes. Learn. Listen.
Bite me.
Thanks, Mike. That's what I'm looking for. First off,
Jesus. I mean, I'm exhausted hearing you read the article.
Yeah. In this day and age, you find me on a planet Earth where they still have something called women's club meetings.
A women's only meeting with their white gloves.
Yeah, we're
having their little sandwiches.
Where broads get together for broads only. I mean, there are girls that go out and have lunch.
Right.
Or girls that go out and have dinner and have drinks.
But could it be a gay bar?
There's not a woman's club.
For women only.
Like a woman's club. And so the disc jockey is supposed to sneak in and eavesdrop so that he can find out what the broads are talking about.
Go to a women's only meeting, and they might kick you out if they know you're a man, so dress in drag.
Well, here he is now, the winner of the You Bowled Us Over Award for today's show. Here's your trophy. Time for the news.
Lovely.
God. You know, I've only read about half of them.
They're all fantastic ideas, Bob.
I will come back to this on tomorrow's show.
Ho, ho.
Ho, ho.
Aha.
Aha.
Tra-la, la, 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 la.
All right, let's go to Buzzy.
Oh, ho.
Oh, ho. And incidentally, Mike and I will not be here tomorrow. We'll be out listening to Sean Hannity to figure out what it is that makes him so scary good.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people. He made it up.
And you see, the problem is that the radio business is one where you get guys who are coming up in the business that don't know a lot about radio. They read this.
Mm-hmm.
They're young.
Right.
They're impressionable.
Right.
And they think, this is how you do it.
Mm-hmm. And then somehow, like that guy in the picture, they get promoted. And then the world goes to hell.
Yep. And you end up being the program director of the 34th ranked station.
How does this happen?
In Los Angeles. And somehow, you get a feature article on you on Radio and Record.
Hi there.
Buzz.
Yes.
What is your lead story today?
Today, word is Monica Lewinsky has been throwing her weight around.
Good. I bet it's Browns.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
Brow Bowling Professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
America's favorite wingnuts, Don and Mike.
Right, it's time for Buzz. Buzz. News Buzz brought to you by Veramax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer. It's doctor developed.
Someone called for a doctor?
Clinically tested. Veramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax, 1-888 try. VMAX. Wonderful. Well, look at that. Even with all the junk today, the Wonderlic test, and the guy from Iowa, and
had to bring up that Wonderlic test again, didn't you?
And the guy from the Air Force Base,
right.
And the guy from Iowa, and then the guy that said, why would anybody call this show?
Mm-hmm.
Even with all that, We picked it up. We're back on time.
We are.
And now let's go right to Buzz with the news.
Hi, Don and Mike. There's always some anonymous insider eager to talk to the tabloids about a celebrity. This time, the celebrity is Monica Lewinsky, and the tabloid is the National Enquirer. Its source says Monica is bossy on the set of Mr. Personality and does not get along with the female contestant, Haley. Quoting the source, Monica is very full of herself. She acts like she's some enormous celebrity. Well, she is enormous. There are pictures to back that up. The source goes on, as sources do.
There she is.
She has no talent.
Buzz has a picture.
Yes, yes, I do. If only this were television. But there are pictures to back this up. The source says, and I quote again, she has no talent. She can't even remember her lines.
Man.
The source says Monica is only friendly to Haley when the cameras are on, and that she spends the rest of her time ordering food.
I'd like that special sandwich that you make for me.
May.
Hillary Clinton. We'll talk about
her. Hold on. We're not done.
Monica's not finished?
Let's just get Monica Lewinsky's last food order.
All right. Very good.
She asked for double mayo, please.
I like extra mayo. I want the meat lover's sandwich. And can I get that with some jalapeno peppers, please? Extra tomato, extra bacon.
Hold on, here is the inside line. Hello?
Hi, I wanted to call you with some Sacramento ratings news.
Ooh.
I know it's your favorite city.
Hey, everybody. It is my favorite city. From up on the third floor, here is...
Hope they're good.
Charles Broyhill.
Cool. I wouldn't call if they were bad.
Right.
Right, okay.
In Men 1849, you're number one with a 10.5.
Thank you again, Sacramento.
In Men 25 to 54, you're first with an 11.0.
Wow.
Thank you again, Sacramento. Now, come on, Mike. You got to say it.
That's fantastic news.
Got to say it.
It's great.
Say,
I couldn't be happier.
Say thank you, Sacramento.
I could not be happier about this.
Say it.
You know, it's such a great run that we've had for such a long time.
Say thank you, Sacramento.
Thank you.
Sacramento.
Thank you, Sacramento.
Thank you, Mike.
It was good.
Sacramento. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Make him do it, too. You made me do it.
Say it, Rob.
Thank you, Northern California.
No.
Thank you, Sacramento.
Don't say Sacramento.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Thank you, Sacramento.
You'll be able to thank them all in person soon.
That's right, Robbie. You're going out with me. You do that dance all you want.
Yeah, do it in Sacramento.
That's number one ratings dance in Sacramento.
Right. How about Hateful Humps 18 to 54?
That's number one. That's number one.
And that one number one demo is a full point and a half ahead of the news station.
Wow. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
So we're beating the Rush Limbaugh station. Oh, that's great.
That is good. Thank you, Sacramento.
Thank you.
That sincerely, and I'm not joking this time.
Thank you, Charles.
You're welcome.
Hey, let me know when Seattle comes out.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we like to keep a track of all the markets.
That's good news.
Thank you, Sacramento.
Really, seriously, in Sacramento, that is a long time that they've been supporting this show.
True.
Gee, I don't know. I'm thinking about Philly. It's just a bad book, dude. If you're listening right now, dude, that was just a bad book.
Okay? Dude.
Because if you're counting the scorecard for all the other markets we're in, we're up everywhere else.
Dude.
So I'd say, give it some time, dude.
What happened?
I don't think so.
Hillary Clinton will talk about her husband and Monica Lewinsky in a new book that'll hit the stores June 9th.
Who's talking about Monica Lewinsky again?
That's right, still and again. Simon & Schuster's ordered a million copies for the first printing of Living History. Quoting a source close to Hillary, it's going to be more candid than people think. She's going to lay out more of her feelings on certain things than her critics expect.
She goes about Monica?
And she does not shy away from Monica Lewinsky. End quote.
Oh, what the heck? Send up the extra large.
The 576 pages sells for $29. It'll also be available on audio tape.
Monica wants to know if you can eat it.
I'm sure you could.
Can you eat a book? That'd be good fiber, right?
And the book on audio tape will be read by the former First Lady herself.
That's terrific. Will Monica Lewinsky be reading?
No, Monica won't be doing any reading.
The former president has a deal with Random House for a book due out late next year. Word is Hillary has the right to censor anything he writes for his book.
Ms. Lewinsky, your food order's here.
Uh-huh. What about Mr. Personality? Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Well,
yeah, really, that was a good sound.
Be that way. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Going very well, thanks.
Good. Hey, this is a Sacramento family. Just wanted to say you guys are very welcome. You kick ass.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Mike, say it. Say thank you to Sacramento.
I appreciate the call, sir.
Say thank you, Sacramento.
Thank you, Sacramento.
You're very welcome.
Sacramento. Right on, Sacramento, Mike. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Hey, Mike. Hey, I just would like to be the first to offer you guys a housewarming party when you move to Sacramento.
Well, that'll be one housewarming party, because...
That'll be just me.
I'm not moving
hey,
out
hey,
there.
Hey, Mike.
That'll be...
I got a special lady for Mike, too.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Okay, right on, guys. Right on. Later.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, great call.
Yeah, great call.
Bye-bye. Shut up, both of you. That's number one ratings.
She's wearing a sweatsuit.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Ozzy's son, Jack Osbourne, says he checked into rehab because he got caught up in his new lifestyle.
I'll drink to that.
Oh, God. The 17-year-old tells People magazine he got carried away with drugs and alcohol. He says he checked into rehab voluntarily for his, quote, health and well-being.
There he is.
He says he told his mom back in January he was doing too much alcohol and marijuana.
Is that Jack Osbourne?
Yeah. He checked into a Pasadena hospital last Wednesday.
Sign these papers, Mr. Osbourne.
Dad Ozzy, who's had his own problems, says it takes a lot of courage to admit you need help. He says he and Sharon are proud that Jack is facing his demons.
You know what Jack has to do a lot?
Facing his demons.
Yes, yeah. Jack has to take a lot of baths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's a way. What you do is you set the, you set it like Oprah does.
Mm-hmm.
Get in a bathtub. You light a bunch of candles.
So there's my little Jack. He's taking a bath.
And you reflect on the changes you want to make in your life. Isn't that right, Jack?
Well, those candles, Jack. Are you going into rehab? Oh, Jack.
F off, Mum. I'm taking an effing bath here.
What are you doing? You're blowing...
I'm trying to dry out, Mom. F you.
All right, I'll leave you alone then. Goodbye, Jack. Would you like to...
We're in the Osbournes.
Version to a mystic form of Judaism, Madonna reportedly only drinks one kind of bottled water.
What kind is that?
It's water distributed and blessed by the Kabbalah faith. It's called Kabbalah water.
There it is right there.
MSNBC.
It's good water.
Says she
listen
had
to the carbonation in that water.
They're bubbles. MSNBC says she had hotel workers in Germany scrambling to find the stuff for her visit. One hotel employee says the water, quote, is not a hot selling item in Germany. A spokeswoman for Madonna denies all of this, saying, quote, Madonna is bringing her own water. NBC reporter Ashley Banfield is in trouble with her bosses for criticizing all the networks.
She still looks good, though.
Yeah, she accused NBC and the others as portraying the Iraqi war as, quote, glorious and wonderful. Speaking at Kansas State University, she said the networks failed to show the blood was shed and the other horrors of war.
You know what's glorious and wonderful?
What?
Those two mounds that she's got in her shirt.
She's beautiful. I think she's hot.
That's why she's on TV. A lot of people would argue it has nothing to do with her journalistic ability.
I agree. She's as dumb as a box of rocks, but boy,
she's fun to look at. And you know, sure. She's the one that invented that whole square glasses thing.
She's good number three material. She really is.
Quoting an NBC spokeswoman, she didn't intend to demean the work of her colleagues, and she will choose her words more carefully in the future.
I can't squeeze one out when I'm watching that old fossil Jane Pauley.
That's for sure.
Ashley's also in trouble for criticizing her bosses for closing their news bureau in Afghanistan, something they say is actually not true.
Ashley Banfield's on MSNBC. Well...
I'm interested in current events.
Hello, beautiful.
What's that you're reporting on? Yes. Yes. Yes.
Dinner!
I broke another window.
Oh, man.
Buzz, we got a break.
All right.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Mike, it's been tough for you, I know, to get used to daylight savings time.
I know, I feel like Eddie Bauer.
If it's really savings, it should feel good, right?
Right, it should. Well, Singular Wireless, Don, has a deal right now that will have you feeling so darn good, you'll think Christmas came early, and I'm not lying to you about that.
Right now, you can choose from 50% more airtime minutes, or 5,000 night and weekend minutes, or 5,000 mobile-to-mobile minutes for plans starting at $29.99 a month. Nationwide lawn service included Pechango.
Yeah, that long distance is included. And you can start feeling good about your wireless phone. Switch to Singular Wireless.
It's me, Don, and him, Mike, telling you our recommendation. Call Singular Wireless, 1-866-SINGULAR. Log on to singular.com or visit any Singular Wireless retailer in your area. Remember, that's 1-866-SINGULAR. End of live read, produce, and speed up tag.
Certain restrictions apply. See any Singular store for details.
And look at that. We had 1 second left.
Don Geronimo and Michael
Mara. I know.
WKFK.
It's good.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can understand them if you're a mastermind. The Don and Mike Show.
There we go. Look at that clock. Plenty of time left.
Wow.
For more buzz. Howdy, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. After 37 years apart, Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore are acting together again. They'll be in a made-for-TV movie called The Gin Game, set to air Sunday night on PBS.
Is it about him drinking during the Dick Van Dyke show?
No, it's about drinking, though, I think.
Is it an old, like, play?
I don't know much about it.
I think so.
Just called The Gin Game. It's apparently chock full of profanity, except on the stations that'll be running a sanitized version of the movie. Carl Reiner, meanwhile, is reportedly having fun writing a Dick Van Dyke show reunion movie.
Saul, please, no.
I think there's no stopping
it. You're right,
now.
He's Saul in Ocean's 11. Please, please, no. Please, yeah. Please.
I think it's too late.
The Dick Van Dyke show is arguably my favorite TV show of all time.
I know.
9:30 to 10 o'clock, I get down to the treadmill with my wife. We got the matching treadmill. They sit next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
She indulges me. We watch. As soon as they
she
come.
What?
She watches me, not washes me.
Okay.
As she watches with me.
You're right.
Even though
right.
As soon as the title comes up,
mm-hmm.
I can tell her what the episode is and exactly everything that's going to happen. The worst thing they could do is to remake the classic. Don't do it.
Yeah. I agree.
I'm a Dick Van Dyke fan. I'm a Dick Van Dyke-aholic. The one they ran this morning on TV Land was the great one where Rob is getting ready for Laura to have the baby,
mm-hmm.
and he's wearing a suit in bed.
Yeah.
And at one point, the alarm clock goes off.
I remember
and
this.
He jumps up. He takes off his PJs. He's got a suit on under his PJs, and he's got his hat at, right behind the headboard
mm-hmm.
so he can jump up, put his hat on, and get ready. I mean, it's classic.
I worry about you sometimes.
I like what I like.
Yeah. I know. For some reason, on a certain level, that frightens me.
Doesn't he end up in Buddy's pants?
Yeah, because...
Whoa.
Because
he goes to the office of the guy who sells...
Come out there!
The guy who sells bagels ends up spilling food on Rob's pants.
Better than Rose Marie, that slut.
Well, worked for a long time, imagine it.
Hi there. See, you used to do Maury Amsterdam on the show all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, unfortunately, generations have forgotten.
And, Jesus Christ, avoid this book at all costs. Somebody sent me an advanced copy of Carl Reiner's autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
Listen,
not that
take,
good.
Take it from someone who's insecure. I'm insecure. I read the book. I've not accomplished in my professional career
one millionth
of what Carl Reiner
mm-hmm.
has accomplished.
Okay.
Your show of shows.
Right.
The Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah. He wrote for the Mel Brooks movies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He worked very closely with Mel Brooks. He's even in things as contemporary as Ocean's 11.
Right.
Yet, the entire book is just a giant J.O. session where he is validating the fact that he's a genius. And he writes, I'm a genius, I'm a visionary. And in case you don't believe me, here are reviews from when the Dick Van Dyke Show originally aired.
That's kind of sad.
Carl Reiner is a guy that I think is, I don't want to use the word genius, but pretty bright, pretty funny.
It's a shame that he's doing a book like that.
And even me, I'm insecure, but I'm reading this book and I'm saying, God damn, this dude is really insecure.
So he's kind of Jerry Lewis-ing his way
through the book. Yeah, and thank you, Mike. Once again, there's our half-brains working together.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Lewis'd all the way out.
Oh, that's a drag. I thought he was kind of above that. I always did.
Any point in the book, does he issue the apology?
What apology?
For Rob Reiner.
No. I like When Harry Met Sally.
Sure.
Well, working with Mary again apparently agrees with Dick Van Dyke. A reporter caught him singing to the tune of High Hopes, just what makes my little old aunt think she can smoke that cannabis plant. Everyone knows an aunt can't smoke a cannabis plant.
You like that part.
I did. I had to encourage
that.
You don't mind, do you?
Not one bit.
It's hard to tell just who Lisa Marie Presley is singing to in her song, To Whom It May Concern. It's a bitter song from a new CD, which actually takes several jabs at an unidentified ex-lover. That could be former husband Michael Jackson or Nicolas Cage.
Now it's a former lover, Buzz.
Someone else entirely.
Has everybody noticed that people are really buying that album?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, was it number 3 on the charts this week?
Yeah, it's a hit.
Now, Lisa Marie won't talk about it. In fact, questions about...
Even though she can't sing live.
Questions about the song make her angry. Quoting her, are you actually going to listen to this for what it is, or are you going to immediately go to some superficial bull and start trying to figure out who she's talking about?
Here is Lisa Marie Presley.
You love this album, right?
Oh, a huge fan of it.
Yeah.
Here's a sample of it right here. Yeah.
I'd like to try to do my latest record. I tried it last night. And
I love her. She's great.
She is. I don't know the words to it, so I had to read it. If we goof it up, just, please forgive us.
And I'd also like to say something else. I'm against this new underground movement, this cottage industry of Lisa Marie Presley impersonators.
Yeah.
Hey, listen to this lady.
You are a great crowd. Thank you so much. Anybody here never seen us before? Anybody?
See,
a couple of people.
She's not Lisa Marie.
Not that good.
Right. And this is a tribute to the late
Lisa Marie.
Oh, we're not here to make fun of Elvis or take his place,
Lisa Marie,
or anything like that. We're just here to bring you back some memories.
I see. She's not Lisa Marie.
That's terrible.
Tribute artist.
Already.
Things are not looking good for Luther Vandross. The satiny-voiced singer who recently had a stroke has now contracted pneumonia. Doctors say he's still in critical but stable condition, but they say he also had to have a tracheotomy to help him breathe. They say this will not affect his vocal cords, but no one's really said just how serious the stroke was. Luther's next album, already recorded, is due out in June.
I just saw somebody on TV talking about how great he was doing. It was Patti LaBelle.
Wow. Said he was doing well?
Yeah. Said that everything that... What sound effect did you pull?
That's a tracheotomy.
Patti LaBelle was saying that everything that you're hearing about Luther Vandross is 100% BS.
Rob, that's the wrong sound for the
tracheotomy. Yeah, that's not a tracheotomy.
You have the emergency tracheotomy.
Yeah, this is the real tracheotomy.
That's because you have to poke the hole in.
Right. Right.
The
using
throat
a pen.
Area.
Using
right.
A big pen. That is.
You'll be fine, Luther.
I got nothing to say.
Well, if anyone still cares, George Lucas is bringing back his...
This is not going well.
He can breathe!
If anyone still cares, George Lucas is bringing back his most beloved characters for the upcoming prequel, Star Wars Episode 3.
Well, I do care. Who is he bringing back?
Well, the original actors are going to play Chewbacca, C-3PO, and R2-D2.
But there are people wearing suits.
Yes.
I like the mysticism.
But that's the good news. They will be back in costume instead of just doing voiceovers for puppets and remote-controlled versions of their characters as they had been.
That means so much.
You think Chewbacca's so old now he has to drive a rascal?
I like the mysticism.
Mr. Skin told us last week that if the new reality movie about spring break in Cancun succeeds, there'll be more nudity-filled R-rated movies.
Cancun.
And he said if the movie does not succeed, it'll be back to the trend of PG-13. So where were you? The real Cancun was expected to open with a box office take of $8 million. It barely cleared two. It opened just barely in the top 10. Identity was number one with $17 million, followed by Anger Management at $16 million. I don't know how that's hanging in there. Dustin Hoffman's Confidence only opened in fifth place with under $5 million, and the father-son comedy It Runs in the Family opened in ninth place. Opened in ninth place. Just $3 million for the Douglases.
And still that movie, A Mighty Wind, will not crack the top 10.
No, it never will.
It won't.
It's unfortunate.
Trust me, go see it.
I'm going to see it.
You'll like it.
What happened?
See, Mike likes it.
And happy birthday tomorrow to Willie Nelson, who's about to turn 70. And instead of taking the day off, Willie will be playing at a casino in Louisiana. It's one of 200 appearances he's making this year. He's joined by Sheryl Crow, Eric Clapton, and Norah Jones, and Ray Charles for an already taped birthday special that will air Memorial Day on the USA Network.
I'd watch that.
Quoting Willie, just living 70 years is a pretty good accomplishment, and laughing about it is something, too. There's a lot of people who'd like to be 70 and having as much fun as I'm having, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
The six-time Grammy winner has homes in Texas and Hawaii.
You said Grammy
winner. He's a Grammy winner.
Anyway, he likes...
Don, baby, how's it going?
He likes
what you like, Buzz.
Grannies.
I mean, the Rob tape and the Want to Get High tape, the buttons are right. See, it's right.
Yeah.
It's
See, they're right next to each other.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
The Redskins stole Chad Morton from the Jets. Now Washington's pro football team is trying to steal this year's 2003 NFL season kickoff concert. The first concert was last year in New York. Sources say having the concert in Washington could happen, especially since New York City's strapped for cash.
And you're not going to believe... I hope you don't have I heard out of the stadium on Saturday who they're thinking about getting the headline.
I have not heard.
Okay. Last year, for the kickoff classic, which is the game they play on a Thursday night,
right. The exhibition game.
Mm-hmm.
No, the real game.
The real game.
The real season opener. Last year, they started the real season on a Thursday night.
All right, and they're going to do that with the Redskins this year?
And before the game, they had the NFL's whore, Bon Jovi,
right,
doing a live concert. Well, I've heard that since this year, the season opener, as they're calling it, the NFL, the kickoff classic, on a Thursday night, it'll be on ABC. It's the Redskins versus the Jets. It's here in D.C. They're going to have a big concert with Britney Spears.
Hey!
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's even talk of splitting the show between the two cities. The winning city gets cash and tourism advertising from the NFL for the deal.
Britney Spears.
Let's play.
I mean, Britney Spears is so 20 minutes ago.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's still doer, but it's nice to know that she's a whore just like Bon Jovi.
Something about you mentioning Britney Spears and then playing that...
Let's play.
Yeah.
I just dig it.
In sports, Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson, and Jermaine O'Neal have been added to the roster of the U.S. basketball team that will play in an Olympic qualifying tournament this August in Puerto Rico. That brings to 9 the number of NBA players who've been selected for the team.
I'm glad to hear that Kobe's playing. And same with the AI. Where's the tapes of the AI's mom?
Is AI going to play slam ball? Lady.
No, this is the Olympics, Mike.
Oh, all right.
It's important these guys play the Olympics.
Right.
Isn't that right, Mrs. Iverson?
Well, Montel, and I know Montel isn't no criminal. I know Montel don't have to do something petty as go to somebody's house and break in their house and all this. You know, you got witnesses, you got people that says they didn't need and break in and all this, but then nobody ain't paying that no mind. Everybody wants the dirt.
But Mrs. Iverson, what about Allen Iverson playing in the Olympics?
Because AI is AI, we got to go to that and we'll go to it.
Hey, it's a lady.
Get out of my face with that crazy stuff.
That was wrong.
Where you get that from?
Because
somebody told it to you? Did the one to tell you that?
Yeah.
Don't ask me nothing. Hey, it's a lady.
Nice.
And finally, Saddam Hussein's birthday yesterday was not the big occasion it's been in recent years. There were no government-sponsored parades, for one thing. But Some Iraqis, glad to be out from under Saddam, found their own way to mark the occasion. In one gathering, they fed a birthday cake to a Saddam effigy that looked like a donkey. The cake was made from excrement.
Yee!
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
This cake, it tastes like...
I didn't say it. I like the way you cut yourself off there. We got to go see you tomorrow. Yeah, meeting tomorrow. We're changing places.
All the listeners. Mike, congratulations.
Thank you.
You bowled me over today.
Oh, I got the trophy. I know just where to put it.
Good day to you, sir.
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 Rusty.
Hey, at tomorrow's air check meeting, I'll let you plus stop.
My best dad. We will see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Peter, Tim.
When we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.